Dear Master Swill, what it was, I have done my Liza leap and am safe in the arms of Canada. So ain't no use of your slave catchers waiting on me at Trailways. I won't be there. I flew in non-stop jumbo jet this AM. Had champagne. Compliments of the captain, who announced that a runaway Negro was on the plane. Passengers came up and shook my hand, and within 10 minutes, I had signed up for 3 anti-slavery lectures. Remind me to get an agent. Traveling in style beats craning your neck after the North Star and hiding in the bushes anytime, Massa. Besides, your Negro dogs of Hayes and Allen Stock can't fly. By now, I suppose that yellow Judas Cato done told you that I've snuck back to the plantation 3, maybe 4 times since I left the first time. Last visit, I slept in your bed and sampled your cellar. Had your prime quadroon give me she-bear. Yes, yes. You was away at a slave auction at Ryan's Mart in Charleston, and so I knowed you wouldn't mind. Did you have a nice trip, Master? I borrowed your cotton money to pay for my ticket and to get me started in this place called Saskatchewan. Brr, it's cold up here. But at least nobody is collaring, hobbling, gagging, handcuffing, yoking, chaining, and thumbscrewing you like you're their hobby horse. The mistress, Miss Lady, give me the combination to your safe. Don't blame the feeble old soul, Captain. I told her you needed some more money to shop with, and you sent me from Charleston to get it. Don't worry, your employees won't miss it, and I accept it as a down payment on my back wages. I must close now, Master. By the time you get this letter, old Sam will have probably took you to the Deep Six. That was rat poison I left in your old crow. Your boy, Quickskill.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies. You are listening to Hebrew Council Meeting, the 4th installment. I want to welcome everybody today, and today's date is September 3rd, 2011. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. This is, of course, Saturday, which is the Shabbat for the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. I'd like to welcome my callers that are coming in. And right now, we have, who do we have on the line? We have Brother D, are you there? Let's see if he called in yet. You there, Brother D?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I'm just making sure the lines are open.
All right,
we have to make sure the chat's on. Did you start the chat yet?
Yes, it's open.
Okay, good. Perfect. All right, what I'm going to do is I was waiting for a few more people to call in. And, oh, if you want to call in to the show, the broadcast, sorry about that, the number will be 347-826-9484. That number is 347-826-9484. If you'd like to call in, all will be heard. We ask you to say what it is you want to say. And actually, last week was a very good broadcast. We had Brother Joseph calling in, and he actually inspired me to do some research, and I found a lot of things that I hope I can bring up today on this this meeting. Now, but what I'm going to do now is, while the show is getting, while this broadcast is getting started, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we are going to start. Heavenly Father, I once again want to thank you for allowing us to have this venue to speak. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the opportunity. I want to thank you for giving me the wisdom to speak to your children. I ask that you continue to bless us, O Father, and I thank you every day, for the knowledge and understanding that you have given me. I pray that you continue to watch over Sister Deborah, that she battles through this cancer, O Father, and I pray that you just bless everyone that's listening here, Heavenly Father. Increase their wisdom, O Father, because we know that time is short and we know that your Spirit is working overtime. I thank Heavenly Father once again, and we love you with all our hearts, minds, and soul. I pray that you continue to bless us in the name of Yahushua's precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, nice. Let me open up some more. We have caller 832-896.
Yes. How you doing?
Hey, Sister Deborah.
Sister Deborah.
How you doing, Sister? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm at work today, so I at least get a chance to be online for an hour.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. All right, we have you here. I'm going to, if you want to speak, just put your hand on up and we'll put your mic on, okay? Okay, Sister?
All right.
Okay. Let me see. 708-655.
Shalom, shalom.
Hey, brother, who's this?
Brother Keith.
Brother Keith, Brother Dawid.
Brother
how you doing,
Keith,
my brother?
How's it going, brother?
How are you?
Good.
Hello to the family.
Yeah, welcome,
brother.
Here
on this Shabbat to be with the Most High children.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Well, before we get started, you know, I think let's just have a little conversation about something. I was listening to Sister Georgia's broadcast today before I got, you know, I logged in. And, brother, she's actually going off now. I mean, it is awesome. The Hyksos?
Yeah, research. She's doing some great research on that. Yes.
Man, she is breaking that down, brother. She's breaking it down.
Find it in the scriptures, too, you know?
Yeah, it's like she's like, yeah. And she's actually, she's doing the footwork. She's looking at it. She's proving it right there. Nobody can say anything because it's right there in scriptures.
It is.
You know, it's wonderful, brother. I really commend her on the great work she's doing with that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
show did you actually listen to? Is that
well, it was the latest one. Recent? I think it was. Yeah, I think it's number 5. But I need to actually listen to most of them, the other ones too, because I just, like I said, I didn't have much time. But now I'm like, man, this is doing
really pretty good.
Really good job.
All of them are really good.
Yeah, they are. And it's, I think, the spirit is moving in that way to, I think it was open before with the Amalekites. Brother D brought that piece, and it's just unfolding. And that's how it is. It seems like the Father, you know, moves. You know, from place to place, things that he wants us to know at a particular time. And really blowing the cover off of that thing that's been right in front of us that we just, you know, just weren't looking at. Because it's always there. But it just takes somebody to be faithful to open that up. And I agree, man. It's really shedding a light on, who our enemy is.
Yeah,
and we're at war.
Definitely, man. And you start to see the pattern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see, like, you know, through time, you actually see that pattern. And just like she mentions in the program, like when you have the snake eating its own tail, how it continues over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the same stuff that I studied, the dying God. What is the dying God concept? That means that one God dies and another God takes his place. One God dies and another God takes its place. Or one God overpowers the other God. That's like the Hyksos overpowering one generation, taking that place of that generation and then becoming that people. You know?
Right.
And it's just like the Greeks and Jupiter and Zeus and all these things. The Greeks had these certain gods. The Romans had their certain gods. and those guys moved into the popes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can see the pattern if you just understand how to look at it. You know? You just got to know
right.
how to look at it.
And these dynasties of, you know, because we always wonder, why do these dynasties stay in place, you know, for so long? But that's,
yeah.
that's what it is. It just keeps rejuvenating itself, and that's that figure, that snake that's eating its tail.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the serpent.
That's the serpent. That's,
yep.
And you know something? And that's what happened with Dr. What's his name? Dr. Beagle? Oh, who was that guy? Dr. Deagle? Oh, I can't even get the name now. But anyway, I did some research for what Brother Joseph was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after I was looking up on this one site, one of the guys was speaking in Spanish, so it was kind of hard to understand what he was saying. But I was looking to what was on the guy that was hosting the show. And mm-hmm. when the guy was hosting it, he was speaking about the bloodline of Barack Obama. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing is they started saying, like, oh, how these persons connect to this person connect to that person. So I'm saying, okay, well, how is this possible? How is Barack Obama connected to these people? So you know with that, you have to go through Barack Obama's Caucasian line, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking through Barack Obama's line. They're saying that he was related to Roosevelt, too. So you look at Roosevelt's line, and you find out that Roosevelt changed his name because Roosevelt's line goes back to the Ashkenazis. All right? And then you start looking at Bush's line. And then you look at Bush's line, too, and then they actually have Bush's line going back to some other royal line, you know, Queen Elizabeth in this. But then when you go back further, you go back to Charlemagne and the Moravian lines, and then you start to see this whole mythology starting to happen, you know? And then you start to connect it to these the Greeks, the Romans, the Greeks, and then you get down to the Hyksos and the Edomites and all that stuff. So you're able to actually, you know, if you understand, if you know what you're looking for, all right, that's the key. If you know what you're looking for, you're able to see the connection between the Amalekites, right, and trace it to how it came into Rome with the Romans, and then, I mean, the Greeks and the Romans, and how, because, you know, it was the Romans who, the Holy Roman Empire, right? That Holy Roman Empire, of course, became the kings and queens that we see today. So we see that connection. So then what we're looking at is when we look at the presidents today of the United States of America and the kings and queens of England, these people are that lineage of the Amalekites. And you see it clearly when you know how these emperors are all basically that seed. Because it all connects to King Herod, right? King Herod is within that line. And we know how King Herod came. That was through Esau, right? Because he was an Edomite.
Right.
And then it goes through Esau. Then we have Abraham. You know, you are not of Abraham's seed, the serpent, when Yahushua called him out. But then we know that Esau was, of course, connected with the Amalekites. And we know where the Amalekites come from. You know what I'm saying? It's all there. You just have to know
right.
how to look at it. But anyway. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Yeah, that's Dr. Bill Deagle.
Dr. Bill Deagle, that's who it was. Bill Deagle. Yeah, listen to Bill Deagle because Bill Deagle got some stuff. Let me see. Sister Queen Leah. Sister Leah in the house.
Yay. Hey, everybody.
Hey, how you doing,
well, sister?
Welcome.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. All right. You know what? When people are going to continue to call in, that call number is 347-826-9484. But in the meantime, what I wanted to do is I wanted to thank Brother Derek Brother Derek, are you on the line today? Let me see. I don't know if Brother Derek is here yet. Wait, hold on. 252, is that Aminadev?
Shalom, Brother Talib. How are you today? Shalom, Hebrew family.
Shalom,
Brother
Shalom.
Thomas. How you doing today, brother?
Shalom. I'm doing Shalom. Fine. Enjoying the discussion today very much. I missed last weekend, so I was going back listening to last weekend's discussion. I just wanted to make a quick comment on President Barack Obama. You know, basically, family, what we're seeing, all these leaders now, especially the NATO leaders and things, they are the descendants of the fallen ones in that sea line of Satan. And basically, they're carrying on what they tried to do since 70 AD, which was try to destroy the children of Israel, but they're also trying to destroy some of the Gentiles too, because the only Gentiles that they're going to leave in power is the ones that they feel they're going to, you know, everybody's aware about the eugenics program and the depopulation with the chemtrails and the fluoride in the water and all the things like that. So, you know, the only ones that they're going to let basically live when they put this eugenics program to its full effect is the ones that they control, maybe military, maybe police, to that effect. But I'm just so disappointed about our Hebrew family. I feel like we were thoroughly fooled by Barack Obama, who made false promises. And basically, since he came into power, since he came into office, and I do believe that he was picked beforehand, the powers that be knew that, you know, everybody was upset because, you know, the way that the former administration had done the company, they ran it into a big wrecked it. And it's just a continuation. But now that we see what this person is actually doing, he's not doing anything to benefit the people of the United States or, you know, the Hebrew people, the so-called American Negro. He's basically helping the power elite gain more power while he's destroying the middle class and making more people in poverty. So I wish we would just stop looking at this because he's a black man. I mean, just like, you know, there's black people, but they're not from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what I'm saying? Ham doesn't mean that he's for us. So actions speak louder than words. You should know them by the fruits of their actions. So I just wish we would think critically and, you know, look at this man's background, what he's doing while he's in office, and just be informed as we make a decision about, you know, who we're going to vote for 2013. That's all I have to say.
Hey, I agree with you 100%, brother. But the thing about it is, brother, the sad thing about it is they have totally taken over the whole voting process anyway. You know, and we wouldn't even be able to vote. Even say if Barack Obama was real at one point, he would not be real when he got into that office.
Right.
You know, they just wouldn't even let it happen.
Yeah, he would have to fall under their regime no matter what.
Yeah, and the fact that he has some of that you know, serpent seed in him,
mm-hmm.
proves that he was selected, though. You know, that's not an accident.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
So, you know. Yep.
I just want to say this, I mean, in all humbleness and not to degrade, you know, anyone, I feel that if we coming into Satan's kingdom, we are not going to be able to do the Most High's work. That's not a title that somebody from the Most High can function in. I mean, this is his kingdom, and it's going to always be what it is. I mean, this is, you can only expect so much from that. I mean, I know how it looks and how it sounds and how it feels, but, I mean, and I don't, like I said, I don't like to sound like, you know, okay, I'm just down on everything, but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's not going to be anything different than that. You cannot function in that capacity as a man of the Most High in that position. It's not going to happen unless the Most High has set up that kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be set up. His kingdom is going to be set up.
Definitely agree.
Because Yeshua said, this is not my kingdom. If this was my kingdom, you know, they would come and rescue me right now. This is not my kingdom.
Right.
Yep.
Can I add something?
Of course, sister.
It's just an observation, just since we're speaking about Mr. Obama. You know, there are those pictures of him putting those papers in the wall, and he's got the yarmulke on his head, and he's over there with Orthodox Jewish people, basically practicing their sorcery and their witchcraft, you know, putting those papers and those prayers in the wall, and he's following them around. And then he went to put a wreath on one of the graves of a Holocaust victim and things like that. And he's doing nothing that has to do with our people that were spread across the four corners of the earth, that were hung on trees, that were burned alive here in America. But he's following all those other people around in the quote-unquote Jewish factions, following after their customs. So just like the brother said, you know them by their fruits. He's showing us his fruits, but people aren't really paying attention. Our quote-unquote American Negro folks aren't paying attention to what he's doing. They're just looking at skin color, but his actions are dictating that he's not even for us.
Oh, no.
Right?
Indeed, he did nothing at all for us except increase abortion.
Right.
And he's following them around because those are the people that put him in that place. Those are the people that
there you go.
Where he was. I mean,
yep.
That's where the money came from.
Goldman Sachs, J.P.
That's
Morgan.
Right.
I mean, that, it's like right in your face. You know, they're laughing at us right now. You know.
Yep.
It's disgusting. Sister Leah, did you hear my when I was talking about Aaliyah Capitella and Emperor Hadrian? Hadrian?
No. I'm going to write this down as you speak.
Okay. I think it was last week, or maybe been the week before last, but I was speaking about when I was doing research on the Wailing Wall.
Okay.
And we discovered, I say we because I never want to take full credit for it. Cause, you know, every time someone says something to me, I look it up and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't believe I saw that. Now, what happened was this the wall that they're wailing to is actually the wall of Jupiter.
Oh.
It's deep, but no, because no one really brings this up. And all these Christians go over there with the little hats and they're putting paper, prayer papers, which you have to pay for, by the way. You have to put these prayers in the wall, and those papers aren't even, that wall's not even the wall of Jerusalem. They say that, you know, it's supposed to be there. But tear it down because it's the wall of Jupiter. You know what I'm saying? Huh. And this was done by the demonic spirits to ridicule or to, you know, why else would Satan put his wall, his church, his temple over the temple of the Most High? Right? Arrogant. So
wow.
Now, what are they doing with that temple? They left the wall stand. They didn't tear it down. And these people are over there praying to this wall. I mean, come on, y'all. That right there should tell you who the serpent is.
So you're saying, is it, what temple was it?
The Temple of Jupiter.
From Jupiter.
Temple of Jupiter, built. No, go ahead.
And the wall that was, quote unquote, supposed to be there is just not there.
Of course, you have to look at it. It's just, okay, I'm going to say this again. Hadrian, okay, we have to look at the characteristics of Hadrian. Hadrian was an emperor. He's one of, I think they call him the seven or five most prominent emperors of all times, right? Hadrian was one of them. When you read about Hadrian, okay, he was like one of these men that he was married, but yet he had his little boy subjects, right? And the little boy subjects were going to be his, he adopted them, and they were going to take the reign of power from him if he died. Now, what this means is that he was obviously homosexual. Now, what does that mean? That means that he had a certain way about himself that can be a little bit annoying, which is when you have, let's put it this way. He was an architect. Right, and there's another architect that was there at this time. Both of them, as architectures, were one architect was like a prominent one, but Hadrian was kind of like a up and coming architecture. He was always ridiculing Hadrian's designs, So when Hadrian became in power and he became the prominent emperor, mysteriously this architecture died. Okay? Now, why do I bring this up? I bring this up for this point. The point is that when 70 AD happened, Jerusalem was totally razed. And what Josephus says is that there was not a stone on top of each other, and Jerusalem was unrecognizable. Now, this was in 70 AD. There was another revolt that most people don't know about, and it was Simon of Jerusalem that did this, or Simon the Coxbach, or whatever the hell they say. But this guy, and he was supposed to be a Jew at this time, so we don't know if he was the seed of Yaakov, but most likely he wasn't, right? Now, what happens is he started a revolt, but he could have been, but they don't really say. He started a revolt in 135 AD, and then what happened is Hadrian, and why did he start a revolt? Because Hadrian promised that he was going to give Jerusalem to the Hebrews, and he reneged on that promise, and they got, you know, basically pissed off, and then this revolt totally demolished Jerusalem. And what did Hadrian do? He banned everybody from Jerusalem. All the Jews, he said, you are not allowed in here ever again. And he banned circumcision. So basically, he wiped out all the Jews from the town. Now, if this happened, and he was an enemy of them, and he was, you know, an architecture that was pretty much anal, why would he leave the wall standing of the temple to mess up his design of the new Jerusalem that he built? Because what did he do? He built a new city. And he called it, he even changed the name. Okay? He changed the name. All right? And then when he had the new name, it was called Alia Capitolina. And that's spelled A-E-L-I-A, Alia Capitolina. C-A-P-I-T-O-L-I-N-A, Capitolina. All right?
Okay.
Now, this is important because now we have a total new name, a total new city, and it was like that for 200 years. What did he do in that time? What did he do? He built the Temple of Jerusalem. Okay? I'll read it. It says, Aliyah came from Hadrian's nomad Gentile, Elias, while Capitolina meant that the new city was dedicated to Jupiter, Capitolinus, to whom a temple was built on the site of the former Jewish temple, the Temple Mount. The city was without walls, protected by a light garnish on the 10th legion. During the late Roman period, the diminishment at Jerusalem, which apparently encamped all over the city's western hill, was responsible for preventing Jews from returning to the city. Roman enforcement of this prohibition continued to the 4th century. The Latin name Aliyah is the source of the Arabic term Liliya, an early Islamic name for Jerusalem. So and this lasted to the 4th century. So that's like almost 200 years. More than 200 years, if you think about it, right? So now what do? They have a whole temple that's built to Jupiter, so there is no Hebrew temple there. So when these people are complaining about and trying to stake claims on this temple, they don't tell you that when they're wailing against the wall, it's actually they're wailing against the wall of Jupiter. And history proves that fact. So anyway, I just want to put that out there.
Wow.
Again.
So you're saying that what he had built there was on top of the decimated Hebrew temple that he drove everybody out from?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And people are wailing there against the wall of Jupiter, which is satanic anyway.
Yep. Now, if they were the true children of the Most High, they got all rights to that wall. They could tear it down and be like, tear this wall down until we get our temple back. But no, they're going to wail on the wall. Come on now. And put prayers in it.
And hello. do that little demon chicken dance with those black hats.
Oh, man. Okay. Thank you. I wrote all that down so I could. Okay. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you, sister, for reminding us. Because I know they're listening, and I know y'all hear me when I say this. We know what you're doing. You need to stop. It's all a lie. It's just all a lie. And now, if y'all look, I have some pictures on the blog talk that I have. And I have one of that guy with Free Gaza shooting out. The reason why I put that up, it, like this.
Explain that.
Oh, you know, remember the flotilla attack? When when they tried to go to, they had the ship that went to Palestine, and they tried to feed those people with coloring books and stuff, and then they went in there and they killed 9 people, 8 Turkish and 1 American, and the media didn't really say, the media was trying to demonize the people on the ship, and no one really wanted to demonize Israel, but yet Israel was kind of saying that we were doing it as a defense, and the people
right.
had guns, and they said they were only using paintballs. Do y'all remember that whole stuff that went
yeah.
on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why I have that on there is because what people don't know is in 2011, I think it was about 3 months ago or so. Well, when was it exactly? It was in 2011. They tried again to bring another ship there. I think it was in June. And they were able to pressure Greece to not let the ship even leave port. That means that an ally of the United States was pressured by Israel to not even let the ship leave port. But here's an interesting thing. It had 10 journalists on there, and it was I think it was mostly filled with Americans. They had like 300 people on there. And these are prominent Americans. You know the lady that wrote The Color Purple? What's her name? What's that?
Alice Walker.
Alice Walker was on that ship. You know? So they had like some prominent people and journalists on this ship, and they didn't let it leave the port, which is showing you who controls what. Because if they can tell the United States, no, you can't let Americans come to Gaza, and we're going to use Greece to do it, that means Israel controls the United States and Greece. You know what I'm saying? And they can keep it out of the news because no one heard about it. That's power. Now, the other thing is, a development happened yesterday, is Turkey expelled the Israeli embassy just yesterday. And now this is serious. And this is because they don't want to apologize for killing their citizens. Okay? So it's like a lot of things are happening now, and we should keep an eye on it. But anyway, I just wanted to have that up there as a reminder. But what I want to do, does anybody have any comments on anything?
I know, it's over.
What do you say? Okay, listen. Now, yesterday I was speaking to Brother D, and I was telling him I was reading the book of John. Okay, John 4. And
okay.
And Brother Derek was like, man, you need to read the book of John, because the book of John is like, you know, it's deep and it tells you a lot of stuff. So I was like, well, let me read the book of John because I really need to get into this. And because, you know, you have to, when someone tells you to do something, you have to just start to really look at it. So I'm looking at it. I'm actually studying the book now. But anyway, in the book of John 4, okay, is when I started to see things with new eyes. All right. Now I'm going to play it, and I'm going to see if y'all catch it. And then I'm going to explain it and then play some of the part, the second part. It's in two parts. All right. So
bless
y'all
you,
listen. What do you say?
Bless you, bro. I got it playing on constant in the car, man. Like I'm telling you, the book of John is put me on another track.
Okay. Nice. All right. Now I'm going to play the book of John chapter 4. All right. Now I'm going to play this and then I'm going to make a comment. All right, hold on. Let me find it real quick. John 1. Okay, here we go. Now listen up.
Chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messias cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Okay. All right, now that was part one. Now, I want to break this down, but first, I need to do something. I need those that understand that you are Hebrews to look at this in another mind. Okay? Now, the way that it's written, because it's written in the English King James way, it's like, you know, it's like it has that Shakespeare effect. Right? And since it has that Shakespeare effect, you know, it kind of is distracting.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to say how the story should go. Now, did you notice when she said that our father Yaakov gave us this well? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we have to understand is that we've always since taught that this lady was a Samaritan, and they've always said that the Samaritans were a separate people from the Hebrews. But when she said, our father Yaakov gave us this well, this is telling you that she is not a Samaritan. She's a Hebrew of the seed of Yaakov.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to take note of is when she's speaking, she's actually saying that it tells you that where this place is. This place was given to Joseph. So they are living near the land of Joseph. And this is Yaakov's well. So this whole land is a land of the Hebrews. Now, the dispute that she's talking about is the dispute between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That's why she said the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Alright? Now, so we have to first put into content on what's happening here. Now, let's look at the characteristics of this woman. Okay? Now we have to look at the characteristics of our people today to get a better understanding on the characteristics of this woman. What is she doing? She's going down to a well. All right? Now, did you catch what she said about the well? She said, thou, she's speaking to Yahushua, you do not have a bucket to get water out this well. You can't get water out this well because the bucket doesn't go deep enough. And two, you need to have something deep to get the water out of this well. So what type of water are you speaking about? Now, why do I bring that up? For the simple point that the woman did not go to the well to get water because she basically had a small bucket, so she couldn't even get the water out herself. So we have to ask the question, why is this woman coming to the well? All right? Now, a clue is when Yahushua counters back and he talks about she had five husbands. Okay? Five husbands. Now, what does that mean? That means that she had five husbands and one that was waiting for her. So she had six men that she was messing with. Now, here's why I'm saying all this. Here's how the story goes. The woman goes to the well, right? And I'm actually getting some feedback. Someone turn that off. Okay, the woman goes to the well, all right, and she sees Yahushua there. Yahushua was there just chilling. His disciples went to get some meat at the shop, and he goes, woman, give me some water, right? And she was like, what are you asking me for water for? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We ain't got no dealings together. She got attitude. Okay? Understand now. We got to put it into content of what's happening. They don't like each other. All right? Then he starts to... Now the conversation's going. And then he goes to her. And he talks about the water. Right? And now she thinks that he's propositioning her. Got to open up your mind now. How do you know that it's a proposition? Because what does she say? She says to him, when he asks about the water, I don't have a husband. No, he goes, if you want this water, go get this water and bring your husband with you. And she says, oh, I don't have a husband. And he says, no, yes, you do. You have five husbands, and the one that you you're with isn't even your husband. So, yeah, you're speaking truth on this point. But the fact that you don't have a husband is true because the one you're with is not your husband. You speak true. So he basically told her a story. Then she got upset. She said, oh, so you're a prophet, right? And now think about this. When we are, when we think we know the word, we argue a lot, right? Oh, now you're a prophet now. That's what she said to him. And then she questioned Yahushua on one thing. She goes, okay, if you're supposed to be a prophet, then why are you, being a Jew, worshiping in this temple when our fathers worship here on this mountain? Now, think about this now. If she's supposed to be a Samaritan, right, in the land of Samaria, whatever, then she's not even has no association to worship in nowhere. So when they wrote this, if people don't understand what she's talking about, her being of the seed of Jacob and our father, she's speaking about a deep-rooted promise between her. So she's basically a woman of the covenant, all right? She's a woman of the covenant. So now what we have to understand is that this conversation now is being, this conversation now, when she is questioning Yahushua, she is a woman, even though she is, you know, seeing these five husbands and she's falling off. She's basically not following the covenant because she got five husbands and she got one in waiting and she's trying to pick up Yahushua. but she does know the word, right? So what does she say? She goes, what makes you think you're a prophet? You ain't even worshiping on the same mountain. And then he breaks it down for her, right? And then she starts to realize that this man is the Messiah, right? Now, because you're going to have to read this for yourself. I'm just paraphrasing a lot here. Now, what happens is I'm going to play the part two now. She starts to understand because now Yahushua is revealing who he is to her based on the conversations that he had, because now he's a prophet. Not only he's a prophet, he's actually saying he's the Messiah, but she knows he's the Messiah. Why? Because what happened? He's answering all of her questions because even though she's backsliding, right? And she has lost faith in the fact that, things are going to change, she still got faith, right? She still got faith, and she still studies the word. And that's like our people, if you think about it, all right? Still out there in the street, but yet still into the word. You know what I'm saying? Anybody got some comments before I play the next one?
Yeah, I just want to say what I picked up from that, too. When she asked for the water, that living water.
Yeah.
The first thing he said after that was, you know, about her husband.
Yes.
Because if you're going to get that living water, you have to repent first.
Yeah.
He was bringing that to her remembrance because she wanted it. Yeah. And then he also broke down that, spiritually speaking, you know, we're gonna eventually worship the Father in spirit and truth. So those animosities between Yehuda and the Samaritans, that's not gonna make a difference.
Yep.
If you worship the Father in spirit and truth, you will get that living water.
Yes, but brother, I'm not taking it that deep yet, because that's now. Yes, of course. That's how deep it. That's the core of it, the core of the whole meaning of it right there, because he breaks it down when he speaks about that, about how it doesn't matter which mountain you pray in, it's that you worship the Most High in the spirit. So that's the core of it all, right? But what I want to bring to people's attention is that this is a very natural conversation here and a very natural, realistic occurrence if you can put your mind to what's happening at this point. Because most people don't realize that when they say that you know, when Yahushua says, "I come for the lost sheep," right? This is the lost sheep. This is not
exactly.
This is not some Samaritan that's not a Gentile. All right, understand that this Samaritan is not a Gentile. This Samaritan is of the seed of Yaakov. All right. So, okay. Anybody got a comment while I play the next one?
No, you're right.
No.
Go ahead, sister.
No, I didn't have a comment about the passage. This is excellent information. I'm taking notes. There was a brief second in there where you were cut off, Brother Zawi, when you were speaking.
Yeah.
And then it sounded like I heard like a growl or something.
Oh, no.
Like you were, because you were right there in like the meat of the truth of all this, and it was like a split little, like a skip, almost like where you were cut off, and like a little growl, and then you came right back. It was really strange, but
uh-oh.
We all know who that is.
Well, bind and bound. Did I bind and bound? Oh, Heavenly Father,
yeah.
Bind and bound. And then he's pressing. Okay, I bound it. Bind it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's you know. It don't matter. You know, they would like to do a lot more than growl, I'll tell you that right now, boy. But let me,
yeah.
I'm going to play part two, okay?
Okay.
All right, here it goes.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee.
Okay. Now, when we first get back, when we first heard it, it talked about how the disciples came back and they looked and seen him speaking to this woman and they marveled, right? Now, that word marvel. I mean, we have to understand, like, when we see, you know, like I was saying to Brother D last night, we have the Marvel comics, right? The X-Men, the uncanny X-Men and Spider-Man and all this amazing stuff. So it means it's a, like, they're astonished. Like, why are they so surprised? It's just a woman. But it was the characteristics of the woman that they were wondering, like, why is he speaking to this woman, you know? And then what did he say? He was basically telling them about how to do the work, about them planting seed and sowing, all right? It's like everybody has this they have this false understanding about Christianity because it has been so twisted up that people don't realize what this is all about. This is all about the covenant. Okay, now the people of Capernaum, the people of Samaria, the Samaritans, see, people are confused about the Samaritans. They think that the Samaritans are some people that were brought in from the Syrian king of Babylon. All right, now of course people of Samaria came in there, but these aren't them, because she says we are of Yaakov. Okay, and then all of her people within that area came to her and they believed on Yahshua. And then he said about the sowing and the reaping and the sowing. And why? Because the woman that was speaking knew the word from someone giving it to her. Even though she didn't understand the Ten Commandments because she didn't follow them based on our understanding of that. But she knew enough of it to even challenge this Jew, who's Yahshua, on the word. All right, and then it goes on to talking about how he went into his own country and everything else. But I just wanted to make that point that you know, when they say that this was not for the Gentiles, you know, you have to understand what that means is at this particular time, this was not for the Gentiles. At this particular time, this was supposed to reconnect that covenant seed, which is the seed of Yaakov. But what happened? The Amalekites, the working for the principalities and wickedness, thought they can usurp this by infiltrating the temple with the Edomites through King Herod and the Pharisees and Sadducees. They came in because Yahushua called them the vipers. And what did these vipers do? They tried to kill Yahushua, which they did actually. But what they thought they wanted to become the head of the religion at the time. And since they became the head of the religion at the time, they wanted to conflate everything. Okay? And we see this pattern through the Christianity, through the Nazarenes. I mean, it is deep, brothers and sisters. Anybody got any comments? Because I'm late. Is everybody on mute?
No.
Oh, I was. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Can you hear me? That's a great point, bro. I mean, that's how it's laid out. In that time frame, that's, you know, who he came for. You know,
yeah.
Peter Yaakov.
But something, brother, is that what annoys me is how obvious it is for me now, and the average Christian doesn't really get this fact, because it all boils down to, you know, the race issue, which it shouldn't be a race issue, because that became an issue because of the slave trade. In order to maintain the slave trade, they had to make one person dominant over the other, and therefore that whole measuring of the heads and skulls and all these things happened, and then you had this race as an issue. So then they started to see black people as like the lowest form, that they could just go in and you know, you can dehumanize. If you can dehumanize a person, you can kill them without thinking that they're human, you know. So they had to dehumanize us, and because we were dehumanized, and being the Sidi Yaakov, is dehumanized. So then when it comes to the truth that the Sidi Yaakov is more than just property, or actually the truth, the covenant of the seed, people don't want to believe it. So now they have a decision to make. You know, Are you going to believe that these people are who they say they are? That is the decision that the Gentile Christian has to make right there. And if they can't make that decision, if they can't get past that, flame on.
Sunny storm.
I hate to be so blunt.
You know, you just
frustration, brother. It seems so simple for us to understand now, not only because the Most High has given us the knowledge, but because we want to understand it. And then because of this worldwide whitewashing of, you know, race, they can't and or don't want to believe or understand this truth. But it's kind of like one of the things that Messiah was talking about. I think it was either in Mark or Matthew, he was saying that it's not meant for everybody to know, or else he would have to convert them too, or something like that. He was saying that, you know, some of the knowledge isn't meant for everybody.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know. that's true.
Yeah. We don't have to be too frustrated, but we do want to, you know, still do our job and spread the information, even if they don't want to listen.
Yeah, but the thing is that when is the time? Yeah, yeah. When is the time to spread it, though? You know, it's like, are we?
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, when is the time to spread the good news?
Well, here's the point I'm making. Now, we are just coming to the knowledge of who we are, right? So now we have to take another look at this book, and now we have to kind of put the stories together. Not kind of. We have to put the stories together and tell the story how it's supposed to be stored, how it's supposed to be told. First of all, a lot of Hebrew brothers out here today don't even know how to break down the deception of Esau. Okay? A lot of these brothers are confused on that. So how are they going to teach the Gentile if they don't even know for themselves? Y'all feel what I'm coming from?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, through my broadcast, y'all know what I do. I do a lot of research and I study and I try to really be honest on how I get this out there, because I'm looking to like everybody else. I'm just being honest. You know, I don't know everything, so I'm trying to figure it out. And then when I figure something out and I take this to brothers, they rather shut me down than accept this truth. Okay?
Okay,
so,
who are the brothers that shut you down? That's,
we don't even,
that's
we don't,
still where it comes back to. It's only, like Sister Leah says, it's only for certain people that are going to hear his voice. Just like he was saying, the field is white. Those are the ones we're looking for. And those, I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're putting it out there. How did I find you? How did Sister Leah find you? How did Brother D find you? You know,
that's right.
How it happens. It's like what is in your heart. You're going to find it. You know, so all these people out here, the people that's not listening to you, you're not going to, I mean, they're not hearing it because they don't have the ears to hear. But our job, is the Most High has given us the job to give what we have, give the portion that you have to those that hear, because you're going to run into those people.
Yes.
And with this internet, I mean, you touching people all over the world. You know, that's how it's going to happen. But it's not going to be a mass thing where, you know, just because it's true, because think about this. The greatest teacher that's ever been was the one we were just listening to. Did the miracles. Did all those things.
Yep.
And it should seem like we're not going to ever teach like he did.
Never.
We're not
going to
ever have
yep.
that insight like he did.
Yes.
And he still
yeah.
didn't come in masses. He was still yeah. alone there pretty much, you know, at that tree at the end. So that's all these things are stories
wow.
to tell us what it really is. Because you got some more chapters in here in John that's talking about, you know, Peter. He said, why can't we go with you where you going? You know,
yeah.
I lay down my life for you. He said, would thou lay down thy life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before the cock crows three times, you shall deny me three times. So he was there with him, hanging with him, and he's still. You know, so it's what it is we're actually blessed to be in this mindset, to hear
yes.
the Father. I mean, it's a walk daily. And, you know, that's what it is. And it's people out here that's hungry to hear it. It's thirsting to hear it. And that's who you're for. That's who's going to hear it.
Thank you, brother. You know what?
Thank you, Brother Keith. Thank you, brother. That's uplifting, man. That really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love you, Brother Keith.
Yeah, that's that is. That's on time, man.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Hey, I've got the scripture for you.
Okay.
It goes exactly with what he said. It's Matthew 13:15. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." So it's by their own self that they have diverted away.
Yeah, well, you look at the world, too. You know, a lot of people just believe what's convenient. You know, I mean, for one, you get a lot of Hebrews that are in these, you know, these churches. That's what's convenient. I mean, that's what's traditional. My grandmother did that, and I'm going to do it, you know. But at the same time, like Brother Keith was saying, there are people out there just like us who know that there's something not right. And you'll know them because they'll ask you questions. I mean, I've run into several people like that. They ask questions because they know something's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. As one of my husband's friends just came into the truth. She got the feeling something wasn't right. And she started asking a bunch of questions just like that. She was like, I have an uncle, and he's like my play uncle, but he keeps telling me, you know, that you're not ready for this truth because you keep going to the church. And she kept saying she felt like something was going on, something wasn't right. And so we finally just had a conversation. I was talking to her about it. She nearly jumped out of her chair. She was so excited because she just knew something was missing. She knew
it was not matching up.
Just like that woman ran off to the city, telling those people, I just met the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
There are a lot of people, a lot more people out there looking than we really know. I mean, you know, that very person you think would never even listen to what you're saying, that very person that I know they don't want to hear this. I'm telling you, it's happened to me so many times. And you know, you got to take it, you know, slowly, you know, take baby steps with them just to slowly introduce them. Because, you know, it's like taking somebody off heroin. You know, if you go cold turkey, you can kill them.
Yeah.
You know, so you just got to take them, you know, take the baby steps with them.
I'm going to go back to my movie reference in The Matrix when he was unhooked from The Matrix, you know, how weak he was, how, you know, out of it. You know, he was, you know, initially.
Right.
He couldn't even breathe with his own, you know, lungs if he hadn't been using them. So it's, you know.
Yep.
The brother's right. You're absolutely correct. You can't just throw this on people like all that, like that. It takes a while.
So brothers, I go back to when I started this with Sister Leah, and we were like the question was like when and how, right? And now I totally understand it and what you're saying, but I want to add this to it. The thing that, like, Sister Venus wrote on here about a friend of hers went back into Christianity, right? Now you tell them about this truth, and then they go back into Christianity. Now, why would they go back into Christianity? Because they don't have the knowledge, right? Now, if someone tells you that the house is on fire, you're not going to run back into the house if you know that fire is going to burn you up, right? Because you just don't want to do that. Now, if you understand the root of the Christianity, how it was deceived through Constantine and the whole story, then you wouldn't even bother going there because you would know the whole story about it. So the point I'm saying is that, like, and you answered it for me, so I'm just going to say, but the point I was making is that since people don't have the proper knowledge and a lot of people are preaching without that knowledge, then people are going to run back into Christianity because they don't actually have the full picture of it. Because if they had the full picture of it, they would realize that Christianity is just a label, Judaism is a label, Islam is just a label, because the root is the Most High. And you don't have to run back nowhere, because all you need to do is open up the Word and get into it. You know what I'm saying? Because the only thing that we're saying that's different is that the people over in Israel aren't the true people. The true seed are the ones that were bought on ships based in Deuteronomy 28. And they will tell you the correct way on reading these scriptures, right? And you have to accept that and stop accepting the Christian way of doing things, because it was a manipulation based on the Council of Nicaea, and the whole story goes. And then the Amalekites, understand this, all right? So then they have a rooted foundation. But what you said, my brother, is correct. They're going to come to this site or this broadcast and listen, and their heart are going to know the truth. And then from that, they're going to be rooted into it. But it's based on their individual decisions, whether it's a Gentile, whether it's a Hebrew, whether it's a Jew that's faking it. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, we pray that it does. So,
I'm going to throw something out here, too. I mean,
okay.
I think we're warring against the flesh.
Yes.
You know, when it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So my spirit could be willing. I could be, I mean, that's on a whole other level. meaning my spirit can be willing. I hear it. It's the truth. But my flesh is still calling me back to the traditions of man because I'm still attached. That flesh is what attaches us to this earth. So that's what plays along with the earth. So until we have our will over our flesh, then that's when we can say, okay, well, I'm walking with truth, you know, and then taking this body with me. You see what I'm saying? Because go back to Peter. I mean, Peter saw all those things. Peter saw the truth. Peter heard the truth. But his flesh is what got scared. And then he was able to overcome that flesh. But that's something that we have to overcome as well. Because, you know, you can hear it. But, you know, what is my will going to do? Is my will going to take me to where I need to go down that path?
And I think, too, typically with Christianity, most people go into it to, you know, for the effect of, and this is, you know, basically for the effect of getting gain. Whereas, yes, you know, where the truth is that gain comes to you when you seek, and it's when you seek the truth. You know, and it tells you plainly, seek ye first the kingdom and everything will be added unto you. See, it's people got it mixed up, and that's the way Christianity, that's what they teach. They teach, if you come in here and you give your money to God, then he's going to bless you with other material. You know, and that's just all convoluted.
Mm-hmm. Prosperity preaching.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What kingdom are they seeking? You know, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, now I'm gonna move on a little bit because I wanted to talk about something that I actually have up here. Because on the agenda, you know, we covered current affairs and we did a little bit with about the Palestinian stuff. We can get into that more later on when we get to the open discussion. But I wanted to get into the Neanderthal man or the white man. And then after that, we're going to talk about the name Israel. Now, why do I bring this up, the Neanderthal man or the white man? Well, recently I started reading this book called Chosen People from the Caucasus, and I wanted to sit down and actually read it, and I'm on chapter 3 right now. But the first two chapters, all right, this is written in 1992, and the author's name is Michael Bradley. Yeah, Michael Bradley, okay? Now, the first chapter is called Chosen People, right? And he talks about how the Caucasian is from Europe, and then he talks about how the Jews and how anti-Semitism, and he actually breaks down that the Khazars were people that went in there in the 7th century, right? 740 A.D., he talked about how the Khazars went into the country. Okay, let me see. Let me read to him. The lecturer also pointed out that the vast majority of contemporary Jews have no historical or genetic relationship to ancient Palestine at all. Most of them are descendants of Russian steppe tribesmen who were converted to Judaism en masse around 740 AD. Being of highly aggressive Caucasoid genetic stock, modern Jews could be accepted to be highly aggressive in consequence. Now, the Khazar conversion origin of the most of the modern Jewry is a fact discovered by Jewish scholars and a fact accepted by almost all Jewish scholars. The contention that the Khazars' steppe tribesmen would have been highly aggressive is simply an extension of the certain argument in the Iceman Inheritance. Now, he's referring to his book, The Iceman Inheritance. Now, I read that because what he's doing is he's saying that because the Neanderthal was aggressive and the Jewish race is aggressive, he's making a connection saying that they have more of this Neanderthal gene in them based on this research, right? Now, this is back in 92. Now, we recently hear different networks coming in talking about the Neanderthal and 4%, and they recently putting that on out there. But this man was speaking out in the 70s, okay? Because he had his first book, Iceman Inherited, and then this book came out in 92. So they knew about this for a long time. And there's other books that have written about this. All right? But another interesting thing he talks about is he speaks about how the Jews were, you know, the main factors or benefited the most for the slave trade. All right? Now, we heard about this before from books like The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Part 1 and Part 2. All right? Now, we hear about that. But what he does is he actually breaks it down, and it's interesting because I believe that this guy right here, Michael Bradley, is also of Jewish descent. So it's good to hear it from someone that's not, you know, Farrakhan, which is, of course, it's good to hear from Farrakhan, but it's good to get, you know, more verification from somewhere else, another source. We say two witnesses, and we got two witnesses, two different sources, people that probably wouldn't even talk to each other are actually coming up with the same conclusions and admitting to it. And they talk about how the Jews were, you know, basically pushing the slave trade to the point where they benefited from it financially, but it seems like they wanted to go on as long as possible. And if they wanted to go on as long as possible, what was the true agenda? And the true agenda was to take over the whole seed of Yaakov. And we've always seen that, though. You know, we've always seen that. But the issue here is the seed of the Amalekites and the chosen people from the Caucasus. What I'm finding out is that when we look at this, we are noticing that the tribe of Japhet went into the area of Europe. Because remember, he went to the area of the Gentile. So when he went to the area of Europe, he obviously encountered something which turned him from a Hebrew to a Caucasian. But we have to understand that he didn't turn into a Caucasian right away, because we still have him, the seed mixing with Canaan and the Egyptians and all this other stuff. So it took some time for it to actually become what we see today, but we at least know where the root was. And this isn't just me speaking. This is now scientific and now on newscasts, and people are talking about it. Does anybody have any comments before I keep going?
So you mean to tell me that Japhet went to the area of the Gentiles? He wasn't a Gentile, right?
No, nope, Japhet was not a Gentile. He was
I just
want to
make sure everybody hears that.
Okay.
Japhet was not a Gentile.
Japhet not a Gentile. No, I said I misspoke. He wasn't a Hebrew, because the Hebrews came through the line of Shem. He
right.
was of the line of Adam. Okay.
Right.
He was a son of Noah. And mm-hmm. that line was the line that was to be in enmity with the other seed line. So therefore, we have a separate seed line, and that seed line, of course, we know as the seed of the serpent, which from that seed came forth two lines, which is the Kenites, and out of the Kenites came the Amalekites. So we have to ask, where did the Amalekites come from? The Amalekites had to come from the other race of beings that were there, and obviously what they're telling us now, that these people were called the Neanderthals. So now we have a mixture of the Kenite, the Amalekite, the Neanderthal, and then we have Japhet going in there, who now Japhet becomes the Europeans, because we have the Ashkenazis, the Germans, the Franks, and all of these people that we see now as the leading monarchs. Okay, y'all, understand, listen up. The leading monarchs of today come from the Germanic line. The Germanic line traced their line to Japhet. Japhet traces his line to where? The Isles of the Gentiles. The Isles of the Gentiles is based on who? Neanderthal, Amalekites, Kenites. So all this time they've been telling us to look over there when we should be looking right at them. Anybody got anything to say on that?
That was well put.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wish the words would come up on the screen so I could copy them.
don't worry, sister. But I'm going to do. Oh, go ahead.
Is this show is recorded?
Yeah, it's recorded.
Okay, so I can listen to it again.
Yep, you can listen to it again. Download it. I'm recording it too here, just in case they try to erase it. Put it back up.
Okay.
But the thing is, is I'm actually going to do a really in-depth broadcast on this. I'm going to do an in-depth broadcast on this, and I'm going to do one on the Teacher of Righteousness, which is going to have the Temple of Jupiter in there. Because I need people to actually have this so they can take it with them, do their own private research, and then they'll understand it, you know? But the thing is, I believe that now what's happening, brothers and sisters, is the pieces are now starting to come together on this puzzle, and we're starting to understand what's going on. But at the same time, they care, but they don't care, because they're racing toward this 2012 date. And it seems that things are going to change so much that we're probably not even going to be able to afford anything, probably not going to be able to be online. So they're going to be like, well, what are you going to do with it, right? So we have to do what we can do right now, get what we can get right now, and then as many people can, listen to it, get yourself saved. And then if we don't speak to each other, it's still okay, because we got this truth. And we are going to come back together again, even if they shut this down. So don't worry about that. But I think time is short, so we need to get this what we have right now. Anybody got something to say on these chosen people from the caucus?
Let's see. Well, I have to go back into all that studying. They're talking about Japheth and the time that he went into that area, the entire area, which was called Asia, which included Russia and all those countries. They were a dark-skinned Asian people. They weren't what the people in Europe are today. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And Esau and all of them, their only habitation was Mount Seir. They didn't have any land, which kind of led to the fact why they want to go and conquer and take over everybody else's land. That's what they do, because they didn't have a land to call their own. They go and conquer everybody else's and call it theirs.
Yeah.
And so all of them, which are brothers, they're all brothers, went over into ruled Italia for a time, then went over into Greece, and then went over into Spain and France, and all those countries became Britain and what have you. And then they came over here and quote unquote started a new country, which was already inhabited by people before they destroyed them.
Yeah.
And the pattern continued. Is that right?
Yeah, and you see the pattern playing itself out today. Look at Libya.
Right.
Libya is a blueprint.
Okay.
And think about Libya. They use other people to do their dirty work. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what you just stated about the Germanic tribes. I know you've already gone over that in some of your broadcasts, but that's why it's important, I think, to go over it one more. And we have to go over it again in the study, because when you tie this together, then you can show people what happened there in Genesis 10 when the sons came off the ark and started to, go into their lands.
Yeah.
I think we just need to show it one more time. It's I think they'll get it.
Okay.
Because
I think you can really tie the
Amalekites in. I think they'll get it, and then they'll start doing the research, because I know that's what it sparked my interest to go and do the research. Just simple reading, and when you run over a verse and you don't take time to see what that verse is saying and really do some research, you'll tend to you'll pick up a story somewhere else in the middle, and it'll confuse you later on. So I think it's important. It is, because I was confused in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I went back and started doing research, and I had to, change some thinking along the way. So,
no, and I understand you, Brother D. I understand you. I haven't done that study yet. I was just finishing up where I was, but I still have to do the study in Genesis 14, which you talked about a couple weeks ago. I haven't gone back there yet.
Oh yeah, this is just for anybody though. Anybody who.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing awesome, Sister Leah. So don't no criticizing towards you what you're doing.
No, not at all. No, this is just general. I'm just talking about in general. This is for anybody who would be confused on any of this.
Okay.
And to reiterate something is, like I said before, this information is being presented to you, okay, from a representative of the Sidi Yaakov. I say that based on scriptures and Deuteronomy and understanding of who I am, okay? And the information that I'm trying to tell you and to relate to to everyone is that we have to look at this not in the mindset of the European King James, because the enemy is not going to give us anything, okay? They're going to try to confuse us. So we have to actually put the pieces together, but we have to know the story, okay? It's like you have to know the story. You have to know the story of Yafet going into this land and encountering these people, and then these people usurping him. You have to know the story of Canaan and why he was in that land. Why was he cursed? He was not cursed with black skin. The curse was the fact that he didn't have land, right? And then what happened was he took the land through sedition. Now, here's something else to think about. If Canaan didn't take that land, Canaan wouldn't have been usurped, right? Now, if Canaan wasn't usurped, would Shem have been usurped? Because remember, Shem was supposed to be there. Would this have stopped the seed of the serpent from coming to usurp Shem? Now, we say, yeah, the Most High, of course, would have stopped that because, you know, we would have resisted against it, but we were usurped eventually. So maybe this part right here was a buffering period before it got to the seed of Yaakov, preserving them for Yaakov to come, because the Most High knows all things. Now, I say that because of this. We have to understand that each thing that happens, there always seems to be that the devil knows about it, okay? I just say the principalities know about it, because we have to remember that we're at war here. And we're not just at war. The Most High is at war, okay? He's at war with these beings. Now, it seems that he does something, they do something else. He does something, they do something else. They're always trying to get rid of the seed of Yaakov. They're always trying to destroy the covenant. They're always trying to make themselves last longer. But now they're backing themselves into a corner. Someone once told me one day, they said that it was Einstein, or somebody said that. He didn't tell me. I mean, I read this. They told me that someone said this. Anyway, Einstein said that these people are going to invent something that will eventually destroy themselves. All right? Many people thought it was the atomic bomb. But it's not the atomic bomb. It's the internet. Because what happened was when they invented the internet, they probably thought they're going to put everybody in databases, be able to chip them, track them, and then ship them out. But what the internet did was it allowed us to read freely, research on our own, and become knowledgeable in our own time with our own methods, and then discover who we are. But they never thought that we would do it. Remember Jesse Jackson talking about the digi divide? You know, computers were out of reach for us a long time ago. Now it's easier for us to get. So now what's happening is we are starting to wake up to who we are. So they can't counter this one here. All right? They cannot. They don't know how to deal with this. So what are they doing? They're destroying themselves more and more and more. You know what I'm saying? They're backing themselves into a corner. The only way they can destroy us is if they destroy themselves. And what they're doing is they're making the Most High come back. Y'all hear what I'm talking about?
I got you.
Okay. Anybody have some comments on that?
Hold on, let me check.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned how the source or this great thing was not the advent of the atomic bomb, but it was the internet?
Yes. Because it's destroying them. See, the atomic bomb is just destroying flesh. They don't give a damn about flesh. They just inherit spirit bodies all day long. You know what I'm saying? They can go underground, blow everything up, come up, and just continue on. See, they need to kill the Sidi Yaakov. But when the internet came, that's knowledge. You see, for 2,000 years.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. See, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Yeah. For 2,000 years, they had the Catholic Church ruling everybody. Going into nations, usurping, making kings and emperors out of people for 2,000 years. And then what happened? That Renaissance happened. And people thought about freedom. And then they said, let's be free. Then the Protestant movements happened because there was always conflict, you know. They always battling these principalities. And then when that battle happened, you know, we now have freedom of religion or whatever with America. You know what I'm saying? The story. I'm going to go through the story. But as time went on, with these last 100 years, they had the industrial age, right? And then they took Israel, and they probably thought they were home free. They're like, we got Israel, we're worshiping Jupiter, we got our land, we're almost there. And now 70 years is going to mark a very special celebration for them, and that celebration happens in 2018. So they're getting everything ready. But as they're getting everything ready, what's happening? The Hebrews are waking up. And now they're trying to shut it down. Okay?
Oh, so that's why we need to make sure we get our books and have our knowledge and make sure we really get this so we're not... Okay. Thank you for saying that again.
Get all the... Think about this. There was a time when you didn't have an Amazon.com. You just can't search on a database and get a book. Most of the books were in the library, but you didn't even know what to look for. You know, but if you get a book and they have reference another book and they talk about references and you look up the reference book and there's other books here, and before you know it, everybody's going to know the truth. How are they going to stop everybody from knowing the truth? The only way that you can stop everybody from knowing the truth is either kill everybody or destroy the tool that's giving everybody that truth. And when they destroy this tool, it's going to be obvious what's happening. And then people go into anarchy. So they're going to have to destroy the system and rebuild it again. That's that snake eating itself again. All right?
Yeah, and they're trying to be all, once again, trying to change the name of what they're trying to do to continue to hide themselves. Because it'd be too obvious if they just killed a bunch of certain people and everybody would know who they are. So now they're going to try to break down the system and change its name or change its function so that they can still hide who they are. Like you were saying a while back, they're going to try to make people pay for it, pay to use the internet or whatever, they just try to continue what their agenda is, but trying to stay hidden.
Yes.
Well, Leah, think about this, too. Everybody on this broadcast knows and beyond that they attacked Libya unlawfully. All right? Everybody knows it. They got the they know that they're supporting the terrorists. They know that the terrorists are Al-Qaeda. They know that CNN is lying. All right? No one believes Fox News anymore. Probably nobody listens to that crap anymore. But the thing is that...
You
see, everybody knows this. Now, the thing is that when people start to realize that Libya was actually helping Africa and trying to solve the actual problems with the immigration in Africa by making Africa an independent nation. Everybody in the world sees pictures of the Somalians starving, the Ethiopians starving, Sudan, you know what I'm saying, the people in the pirate ships, Nigeria, Zimbabwe. Africa has problems. So what does Gaddafi do? He tries to solve the problem by making Africa independent of Europe. But what happens? NATO comes in there with America and France and Italy and with the blessings of the United Nations, and they blow this country to sky hell because Gaddafi is supposedly now shooting a couple of disgruntled citizens. All right, he's shooting a couple of disgruntled citizens, and then they come out with a report that the rebels with NATO killed 50,000 people and destroyed the infrastructure, and now Libya is basically utterly destroyed. Is that right? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like they are going buck wild right now. It's like you can't hide it no more.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have this internet. and we are talking about this, so they are ready to shut this down because what's happening? They're ready to introduce another god. This is that dying god concept. You always had nations that were destroyed, and then another nation would come up. They're going to create such a crazy scenario, whether it be an alien invasion or just total Armageddon chaos, that they need to bring in their new system. Y'all feel what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is coming. Hey, this is coming soon. Our reality is about to totally change.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
So,
okay.
You know, it's time to start, you know, I mean, as we were saying, you know, we need to let other people know and start to make them aware, because like Dawib was saying, you know, in the research that I've done myself, I think it's going to be that the Christ figure that's going to be introduced. And because so many people, I mean, just think about it. There are over 1 billion people who call themselves Catholic.
Yeah.
Over 1 billion. That's
yeah.
a lot of folks. And and I'm sure those numbers are much higher than that. So look at all, and not to mention all the offshoots of religions that are based in Catholicism. So, you know, it's we're talking mass deception.
That's right.
Yeah, not to mention all the Christians that are supporting this cluelessly.
That's right. The Germanic scientists and Amalek, and even some of the American scientists, are they preparing their fake, not fake to them, but their ships, and they're out in their, what do you call that, their space satellite stations or whatever, to they finance all of that so they can prepare to launch a false galactic attack the world, so that we would think that aliens are attacking, but it's actually them trying to get people to believe that there's some kind of alien attack on the world, and they're out there scoping the universe, trying to be at the feet of the Most High, which they'll never find, and they're not going to get there. They're trying to launch an attack on before, like, outsmart Messiah or something like that, thinking that they're actually going to win before he comes back. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're, to the extent that they really are trying to stop their own destruction.
Right. Sister Leah, they'll try anything.
Oh,
they're at that point now where they'll try anything.
Yep.
Yeah, think about this. Think about all the people. There are millions of people saying that they see something every year, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there have been millions of, I mean, just thousands of people in the U.S. alone who have reported seeing, like, these huge triangles or boomerang-shaped objects and whatnot. Now, that, those are absolutely man-made, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the thing, you always got to remember, Satan is going to try to mimic or introduce himself or deceive people in a way that he knows it's in a similar way to the way the Most High is going to present himself. But of course, it's not going to be on that such a grand scale. But to us, I mean, just this thing, your reality, that's why I was saying your reality, our reality is about to totally change, because, I mean, just to give you, just to take you to the intensity, just imagine if you walked out your front door, you see a funnel cloud, right in front of your house, and it's coming towards you. I mean, just think of think of the fear, think of the intensity of that. I'm saying that because I've seen that before. I was in, when I first moved to Dallas, when I first came here from the Air Force, there was a huge storm in Dallas, and there was a funnel cloud forming. Like, we could see the upper part of it, and the sky was real black and everything, and we could see how it was coming down, but it did. I think it touched down, but it went right back up. But that was scary. I mean, I had never seen anything like that. And, you know, it'll put you in a state where you're like, okay, what do I do now? I mean, that intensity is what probably 10 times that will be what people will experience in seeing this. I mean, you know, they
put several shows out there, V, Falling Skies, you know, all these different movies, you know, that is, just think about what you would do in that situation. And that's what people are going to have to keep themselves from just falling down because of it.
And brother, let me add something. You know, the mind control, let's think about mind control, right? Because that's another tool that they have. All these Catholics and Christians and people in the Islamic faith and Judaism, it would not stand if these people weren't under mind control. Now, let's compare it to 9/11. All you need to do is go on the internet, look at 9/11, right, and then realize and know the truth. What do they do? They turn truth into a theory, right? Now, if you can turn truth into a theory, then people are going to second guess their own intelligence and say, well, it's a theory. No matter how much truth, you can see bombs going off in the building falling in its own footprint, and for years, knowing that people, how buildings blow up, they fall in their own footprint, know about the spheres of thermite in the dust, the people that they caught, the numerous amount of truth that shows you that this was an inside job, but yet people say it's a theory, conspiracy theory. That's mind control. Now, they have made it so that when we go and say we are the CDIACO, those people are not the people. Here is the truth. No matter how much you show them, how many books they've written, they will still say, oh, this is the Black Hebrew theory. So now
you saw that too.
Yeah, of course, brother. So now what we have to do is we have to say, when this strong delusions come into the picture with these aliens and stuff, you know, whatever they want to do, even if we say, look, y'all, those ain't no aliens. We've been telling you for years that they would try to pull this. But the media is going to say, no, it's real. This is real. This is not a theory. It's real. They'll fall for it as quick as you can say amen. Because
that's right.
you know what is real to them? They won't believe the truth, but a reality show is real.
Right.
They didn't just come up with this idea, you know, reality shows just happen to pop up on TV.
Exactly.
That's part of mind control, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the old professional wrestling when you didn't know any better and you thought it was real.
Yeah.
Then they come out later and tell you, okay, all right, it's fake. And you know what? More people accepted it. So.
Right.
When it's mind control, even if they bring you the truth, oh, I don't care, it's just as real. People will believe anything, brother. They will believe anything.
Yes, it's sad.
And you know, this morning, well, this afternoon, I went to the store. I had to do a couple errands or whatever. And I went in the store, and I didn't really look up. I go in the store, I come back out, and I just so happened to look up, man, and there's this line in the sky that it had to be 100 miles long. Huge, you know. And what I always noticed, you know, I was telling Dawid this the other day. I always noticed, like, just like before the hurricane and before that earthquake, it seems like they start to do this spraying, you know, just prior to something happening.
So I'm hoping, you know, I'm praying that nothing, you know, these, you know, they're not getting ready to do anything right now, being that this is the 10th anniversary. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know about your areas. You might want to, you know, look up and just, you know, keep an eye on what's going on, if they're spraying, if they've increased it or whatever. But
hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, he's there.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds like you cut out.
Yeah.
Oh, who, me?
Yeah,
it did.
Cut out.
Like you just cut out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no, I was saying, but, you know, just make sure you, you know, take a look, keep your eyes open for that, too.
Mm-hmm. You know something, when I first... I forgot this happened. When I first started looking at these chemtrails, right, this was about in 2008. I think it was 2008. And I heard about it on this show, and I was like, oh, now they talking about somebody spraying this guy. And at first I was like, oh, come on. But, of course, I know, you know, I don't put nothing past them. So I went outside, and I started noticing all these spraying. Hey, we got to mute somebody.
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Hold on, let me. Okay, you got it. All right, now, what happened was when I went out there and I started seeing these lines in the sky, it started to become obvious that something wasn't right, okay? But it still wasn't confirmed to me 100%. Because I was like, okay, you know, what? This is something wrong, but I don't know what it is. But, you know, and I started getting mad because it started covering up the sky and then the sun would be blocked. But then one day I was invited to a birthday party, and I was sitting at the party. And I'm just, you know, looking at up in the sky, and this plane comes by. And then the plane starts to spray this line. It's heavy. Yep. And I'm just looking at this like, I'm like, am I seeing this? Is this for real? And I started thinking about this. I'm thinking like, it's like the Most High is going, just look at this right here. Because, you know, you just look at something. And then it was just like,
yeah.
This line just came out. And then it stopped. And it went. And I said to myself, what the hell was that? And I was like, man. So it was like, it was basically telling me definitely something happened. And now years later, when you read about this, you actually see that now you notice that the chemtrails, and they did stories on it, and they actually come up with the different barium that's in there. It's I just wanted to make that point about the chemtrail.
Yeah. And, you know, and see, one guy had mentioned that it could, the reason why they may be doing this is to put like a filament in the sky so they can use this type of image projection.
I thought weather modification.
Yeah.
Project Blue Beam.
And they said weather too, because the you know, because the way HARP works, it helps, you know, helps that signal go through better or something like that.
Isn't it some kind of aluminum particles?
Yeah,
like
aluminum, barium,
metals, some kind of metal.
Mm-hmm. Aluminum oxide, barium, and something else.
But the thing is, y'all, even if they do come, even if these they do try to fake this alien thing, as soon as we say it's not happening, they say it is, and, you know, we can't argue against that. They're gonna say, you know how it says in the book how they took the two witnesses and they gave gifts to themselves because they killed them, and then 3 days later they rose up in the Book of Revelations.
Yeah.
Because the two witnesses are telling you, like, these aliens ain't real. This is fake. This is fake. This is fake. And he kept trying to knock them out of that brainwash, mind control, and then they just had to kill him. And they were so happy. Gave gifts, because now they can worship like they want. But then, right after that, that's when Yahushua said, this is it, and he came back. So, anyway, just wanted to throw that in there.
Right.
Mm.
Exciting time.
Yeah, it's exciting. That's an understatement, brother. crazy.
Yeah.
It's like that tornado. When you said that tornado was coming, I pictured myself out there looking at that tornado. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be running around in circles, boy. I'd probably dive on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, just stay still.
Yeah, because seriously. Yeah, you're like, where do you go? What do you do? I mean, you can't run from it.
You can't run. You just got to just pray.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what we're doing. In fact, my mom came outside and started praying.
Oh, did she? I heard that.
I mean, seriously, because it was, like I said, close enough to where we saw it. It took up probably in the direction we were looking, probably 50% of the sky.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was huge, man.
Yeah, you just lay down. Them tornadoes ain't no joke, man. They suck up a house.
Nah.
Okay, well, look, there's something I'm going to get into, and that's the name of Israel. We got 9 minutes in this broadcast. Of course, it's going to go next to really get into that. But I wanted to cover on the agenda. We have Neanderthal man or the white man. Does anybody have any more comments on that, or should we move on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Bob? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We got you.
Okay. I guess I was trying to say something a few minutes ago, but I wasn't getting through. That's okay. I'll go back on mute.
Oh, it's okay. Let me see. What I wanted to say is, now, the reason why I want to bring this up, the name of Israel, because I want to make sure that it's documented, and I want to be clear, and I'm going to do a one-year anniversary on They Live Because We Sleep, and I think I did that in December 4th, so I'm going to try to do it the same day to let to see where we are with this. And now, from the time that I did that broadcast till now, I had nothing but blessings. And the first person I want to thank is Georgia, because Georgia was the first person that was like, this, she says she wanted, she supported me. She sent it out to all of her listeners. And she basically put my message out there. You know what I mean? And I'm indebted to her, and I love that sister. And that's why I support Georgia 100%. Right or wrong, I support her. I don't agree with everything, but we all don't agree with everything, and that's what learning is about. You know what I'm saying? Certain things that she says now I agree with because I didn't know before. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure certain things I say she agrees with because she didn't know before. So it's just that's what families do. We argue and we get back together. I never argue with Georgia, but you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I just want to give my total respect, love, and thanks for Georgia. Now, that aside, I want to talk about They Live Because We Sleep and the name Israel. Now, a lot of brothers, when I brought this out there, they kind of just pushed me to the side. And I want to thank y'all for pushing me to the side, because now I have a true family now. And this true family is a lot better than what I had before. And we'll just leave it at that. Now, these brothers here are really searching the word, and they are finding out so much that I hate to say this, but these brothers that don't listen to this are going to be put to shame when this true message comes out. And instead of being in shame, I just advise you to humble yourself and just repent and just come to the Most High so we all can bring those branches together like we're supposed to. There is no room for ego here, okay? We ain't got nothing to win here and nothing to gain. All right, there ain't nothing to gain here but the kingdom of the Most High, and all of us gonna be there if we make it. And I don't know about you, but I'm trying to make it. Ain't no time for no competition, because this is about trying to find the truth and do what we're supposed to do as the covenant of the Most High. That's all it's about.
Go ahead, brother.
All right, I'm just speaking. You know, it's like, come on now. There's stuff out there that is not right. And if it's not right, just admit it's not right and move on. It's okay. Listen, like Brother D said, this ain't no time for Hebrew Christianity now. If you left Christianity to become a Hebrew of the Sidi Yaakov, then be that 100%. Don't be at 75%, 90%. Okay? We got to be at 100%. Okay? It ain't no time to be playing no games because time is short. Now, when we talk about the name of Israel, a lot of us are calling ourselves Hebrew Israelites. Okay? Now, I say, I don't dog you out for saying that. I don't stop listening to you for saying that. I'm like, okay, you want to call yourself a Hebrew Israelite? That's cool. But if you don't know what Israel means and you continue to call yourself that, then they're laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you because I love you, but they are laughing at you. And if you are fighting against them and you still call yourself a name that they are honoring, then who's the fool? Hello?
I hear you, Mel.
Please listen to They Live Because We Sleep, because I break it down that so that you can just check it out and cross-reference it and come to the understanding that I have come to, okay? And I'm going to really get into that after the end of this break. So I'm going to play something, and then we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to take a quick break, and let me see. I'm going to pick something to play, and then we'll start the second part of this. Is everybody cool with that?
Yes, brother, we are.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. All right, let me see. What can I play? We got 3 minutes left. Strong man. Okay.
And this is the poem that I always close every reading of mine. After this poem, I read no more. Strong men. Strong men. The strong men keep coming on. Carl Sandburg. They dragged you from homeland. They chained you in coffles. They huddled you spoon fashion in filthy hatches. They sold you to give a few gentlemen ease. They broke you in like oxen. They scourged you. They branded you. They made your women breeders. They swelled your numbers with bastards. They taught you the religion they disgraced. You sang, keep inching along like a poet's worm. You sang, by and by I'm gonna lay down this heavy load. You sang, walk together, chillen. Don't you get weary. The strong men keep a-coming on. The strong men get stronger. They point with pride to the road you built for them. They ride in comfort over the rails you laid for them. They put hammers in your hands and said, drive so much before sundown. You sang, ain't no hammer in this land. Strikes like mine, Betty. Strikes like mine. They cooked you in their kitchen. They penned you in their factories. They gave you the jobs that they were too good for. They tried to guarantee happiness to themselves by shunting dirt and misery to you. You sang, me and my baby gonna shine, shine. Me and my baby gonna shine. The strong men keep a-coming on. The strong men get stronger. They bought off some of your leaders. You stumbled, as blind men will. They coaxed you unwontedly soft-voiced. You followed away, then laughed as usual. They heard the laugh and wondered, uncomfortable, unadmitting a deeper terror. The strong men keep a-coming on, getting stronger. What from the slums where they have hemmed you? What from the tiny huts they could not keep from you? What reaches them, making them ill at ease, fearful? Today they shout prohibitions at you. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, reserved for whites only. You laugh. One thing they cannot prohibit, the strong men coming on, the strong men getting stronger, strong men stronger.
Okay, I'm back. The broadcast is going to end officially in about 30 seconds. And then we're going to go on to the other side. And I have a couple notes prepared for the name Israel. And let me see now. I think. Yep. Okay, now it has started officially now. Before I begin, is everybody okay?
Yes.
Can you hear me, bro?
Sorry, I had to step away for a second.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm good, bro. Sorry, yeah. I'm coming in late. But, I'll try to get in as soon as possible.
Hey, Jamel. What's up, my brother?
Hey, brother.
Come on. What's up, how's it going? All right.
It's going, yeah, it's going.
This is Leo. Sorry about that. I had the chat room. It was me. I thought I had somebody else on mute, and it was you. So I apologize for that.
Oh,
that's okay. I was on mute for a while.
Sorry
okay.
about that, Brother Keith. I did hear some feedback there. That's why I was doing, but I don't hear it now. So
okay.
But
you're doing a great job, Brother D.
Yeah. If you need me to go on mute, I will.
Since Leo was back there just talking.
I was like, hello.
Yeah. Actually, I just looked at the agenda a little earlier today. I was out on the road earlier, so I kind of missed the majority of the conversation, but I kind of wish I was there from the very beginning, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen. And, I'm going to kind of like let you guys go ahead and take the lead. I was trying to jump in. I don't want to say anything that you guys may have already went over. I know you guys probably already spoke about Neanderthal and man and everything else already. Is that right?
Yeah, we could touch on it again, though, brother. Right now I'm just going to speak about the name Israel, and then we're going to basically open it up for discussion. And when open discussion comes in, then we're just going to go off. Everybody's just going to be free to go off then.
All right, gotcha.
Okay, but welcome, brother. It's good to hear your voice.
All right, thanks, brother. Good to hear yours, too.
Thank you. All right, y'all. I'm going to, now, like I said before, I'm going to do a real broadcast on this to celebrate the one-year anniversary. And it's based on They Live Because We Sleep. And I can say even stronger now about that name Israel, based on who's using it. And we have to look at the people that are calling themselves this name based on why they're calling themselves this name and the power that they're getting from calling themselves this name. And when we start to take on that name and that star, then we basically partake in that ignorance, okay? Because we understand where the star comes from, okay? And it's symbols. We know that we're not supposed to have any graven images, but yet we have this star. I don't. But you know what I'm talking about. We got brothers that come into this truth, but what do? They take on the religion of Judaism without understanding the history on that religion. Not understanding that it was actually a usurpation. Okay? And that usurpation turned into what you see today, based on the Kabbalah, based on the Talmud, based on the lies that put them in the position and put us out and made us slaves. Okay? And when we go ahead and we take on that name and take on that star and put on that robes and stuff like that, then who really are we? We have to call it how we see it. Are these people of the Sidi Yaakov, or are they something else? Has your ignorance put us further into stupidity? Because what happens is when they look at you, do the things that you do, it's a reflection on all of us, and they say this ain't nothing but a bunch of buffoons up here. And then they laugh all the way to the bank as they continue to stay in that land. And then when you convert into that religion and you go to that land, you are partaking of the demon, partaking on the demonic deeds who are there today, killing the people, usurping lands, controlling the media, and coming up with the lies that we have to live through today in a destroyed world in which they control. All right, now what do we do with this? We have to first admit that name Israel, there's something about it. And how do we know? Well, we have to go back to what happened at this time. And like I explained, they live because we sleep. Now, there's something else that I want to put in this information here. Is I was talking to Brother D this week about this earlier, and I was telling him that with this incident, we have to see it as four different beings at this place. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that when Yaakov was wrestling with this being, okay, at this particular instance, all right, we are told by who? Who's telling us? The European, right? The ones that translated the book are telling us that he wrestled with the Most High. Now, we know that he did not wrestle with the Most High by now, or we should. But we're told that out of this wrestling with the Most High, he named him Israel. Okay? Now, my argument is that this did not happen at this particular point. Why? Because it talks about it being a separate incident, which happened 3 years earlier. Okay? See, people don't know how to read the word, so they don't understand that a lot of conflation is coming into this. And if there's conflation with that name Israel, and that's not who he wrestled with, then why are we calling us something that we're not 100% sure of? Okay, let me explain this. Now, I don't want to get too confusing here. Let me say that during this time, this wrestle at Jabbok, you know, during at this area where Jacob was at and the man attacked him, we have to understand that there were four people, four beings here. And here's the four. We have Yaakov, the man. Then we have the being that was inside of the man that wrestled with Yaakov. And then we have the being that saved Yaakov. All right? Now, within research, if you listen to the Live Before Because We Sleep, understand that, Yaakov was saved by an angel. He was saved by an angelic being. Why would Yaakov have to be saved by an angelic being if the angelic being was Yahushua? Okay? That angelic being was named Face of Yah. Okay? Because his name, Phanuel, is named Face of Yah, and this was the being that saved him. Now, who was wrestling with Yaakov? The being that was wrestling with Yaakov has many names. Ariel, Sariel, which could be known as Israel. So now we have to break down that name Israel and understanding that it's pinpointing Sariel, who is basically a being that is over the angel of death, Metatron, which is also known as the high principalities that control different demonic beings. And the thing about it is most of us don't know this because we do not read into the books that I suggest that we read, like the pseudepigraphas, the apocryphas, and all these things. We don't understand that these books, the books of Enoch and all these things, even though we argue about the legitimacy of it. Look, even the Bible, we argue about the legitimacy of it. We have to understand through the Septuagint how that was a deception and how that brought about all the books and then all the church fathers. See, everything is a deception. Everything has a dilution into it, is diluted and has been manipulated. So when we look at that pseudepigrapha, you know, we have to take it for what it's worth and get the meat out of that to understand more knowledge. And that's how I found these things about Israel. But I didn't find it just in the pseudepigrapha. I found it in the King James Bible because I noticed that there was a conflation. And a conflation is when you take something and you it's so close in relation to it that you don't know the difference, because when you have time with conflation, you can't tell the difference. And this is the tool of Babylon. It's Babel, confusion. Now, I say this because when we break down the incident that happened with Yaakov and the spirit being, okay, we realize that the spirit being was not sent by the Most High. It was sent by another being. And that being was sent to kill Yaakov. Okay? And if it would have succeeded on killing Yaakov, that would have basically cut out the seed actually would cut out the seed of Benjamin, because Benjamin wasn't even born yet. But anyway, if that would not actually, because Benjamin was, she was pregnant with Benjamin at this time. But anyway, it would have killed Yaakov, okay? But it didn't kill Yaakov. And but Yaakov was saved by Phanuel, and then the naming now. How did this name get into being? We have to ask the question: Was Yaakov really named Israel, or was he named something else, or should he have been named Face of God? Now, what I'm thinking is that if any name would have been given to Yaakov, it would have been something to this: He who has the face of the Most High, meaning that the Most High has his eye on Yaakov. That would have been the name, okay? Not Israel. Anybody got any comments on that? Because I'm going to keep going.
You are breaking it down, yes.
Okay, all right. So now, if brothers are offended by me saying that you shouldn't call yourself Hebrew Israelites, I wish that you would really take what I say into consideration. Write me an email, argue with me about it, and I'll basically lead you to the scriptures, and we can do some email argument, whatever you want. I don't care. But understand that by you continually doing that, these people that have taken our name and have taken our heritage and have taken our land are laughing at you because you are taking their name and saying you are us. That's embarrassing. Okay? That's embarrassing. And a light that is on that is right now people actually saying, wait, let's question this name. Because it's right there as clear as day that he did not wrestle with the Most High. He was saved by the Most High. Okay? Now, if that's the case, then you have to take a second look at that. All right? And then you have to ask yourself, if this being can take your name, put you in prison for 400 years, make you the lowest dirt on this earth, and create Christianity to keep you there, what makes you think he won't take the name of the Most High and pollute it and call it himself?
That's
Hello?
Exactly what he would do. That's right. That's exactly what he would do.
Well, who are we dealing with here?
Just going to interject real quick. This is what I was trying to lead you to last week. When I said how a lot of brothers is changing or turning a Hebrew Israelite into a religion, I was talking about the Christians, the Muslims, the so-called Jews, and the Hebrew Israelites also. And I know some people got upset when I said that, you know, but it's just a fact. It's just a fact. And people they're turning it into a branch off of Judaism. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, how I saw and how I recognized this years ago, because I know one thing, that the Creator, all right, if the Lord God, all right, our Creator, names you something, he's not going to go back later on and jump between calling you Jacob and Israel, or Yaakov and Israel, back and forth. And that happened after this all took place.
Yep.
So
that's what we spoke of yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, so that tells me that something is wrong. You know what I mean? We have free will. Yaakov had free will. He was just like how we were. Okay, so it was up to, from that point, Yaakov was wrestling with himself. He was wrestling with his belief, with his belief system. You can't serve two masters. And that's really what I got from it. You know, I didn't have to read any other book. I'm not saying for anyone else not to read any other book. You know what I mean? But I didn't have to read any other book in order for me to see that. But what happens is I think a lot of people are so blinded out of sync.
Oh,
sorry?
804?
Oh, no, I was talking to my wife.
Oh, okay, bro.
I thought I was...
He wasn't taught how to think and how to interpret the Bible. And if you're taught by men how to interpret the Bible, then chances are you're going to fall astray somewhere.
You know, what we have to do is we have to get back. We have to get back. In order for us to get rid of these curses, in order for us to stop being oppressed, we have to remember. Now, remember what? Remember who we are. Remember our ways of life. You know what I mean? And once we start doing that, we get all the guidance that we need from our Father. You know what I mean? We are able to discern from our Father instead of still going back and using some sort of man's philosophy in order to discern God's word. And this is where we all get caught up at.
Yes. I hear you, brother. I totally hear you. Anybody got anything else to say on that?
Nope. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Sister Venus. I don't know if it's going to be a statement, a mixture of a statement and a question. Well, I remember when I was in the church system and watching on TV years ago.
Yeah.
The pastor, which was a Gentile, he was stating that Jacob, that his name meant trickster, and he pretty much lied to get that inheritance. And now that I know that I'm a Hebrew and I would think about that, it almost makes it seem like they are trying to imply that promise that who was gave to Jacob, it wasn't promised to him, you know what I'm saying? And it's almost like a precursor, like he was trying to set it up where, oh, it was stolen. So for us who claim and know that we are of the seed of Jacob, that it's almost like they're trying to say that we stole it, even though he doesn't know who the real people are. That's what I got from it.
The person that put it out there that it was stolen is, you know, the person who lost out on that birthright. Because Esau is always, I mean, that's where the war comes in.
And he's always,
has always
that.
Felt that he is, you know, he was supplanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the one that put that out there to make Jacob seem like he stole something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It almost seems like he flipped it because, you know, knowing that Jacob got it, and Jacob was actually, even though Esau was the firstborn physically, he wasn't the firstborn spiritually.
Hallelujah.
Sister Venus, I'm sorry.
Yes. Can I make one comment on that?
Yes.
Now we have to look at it like this, though, okay?
No, I'm talking about his ice cream cup.
Here's how we have to see this. Now, Esau is arguing for the birthright, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here knows what that birthright was, okay? The birthright was not land, okay? The birthright, let me repeat that, I got some feedback. The birthright was not land or materialistic goods, all right? The birthright was to be the priest of the Most High. Esau has already taken that stance today. Esau is at the head of every religious institution on the planet. So he has, right now, the ability to express that birthright to the four corners, which he did. What did he do with it? He created Catholicism. He created Islam. He created Judaism. Okay? He basically destroyed the souls of man upon this earth with his lies. But the true seed of the Most High, the true inheritors of that birthright, of the seed of Yaakov, through the covenant, okay, through Moses, he decided to get rid of them and place himself in that seat of the Levites. You see what I'm talking about? So, regardless on him saying who stole what, the Most High chose Jacob to basically deliver that. He stole it, but what did he do with it? You're looking at what he's done with it. Look around you. Look at the world. Look at the banking system. Look at people dying in Somalia. Look at Libya. Look at the nuclear wars. This is what Esau is doing with that birthright. Because remember, he has taken it back. Y'all see where I'm coming from with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you said that, Sister Venus, because that just proves that that's kind of universally something that's being taught in all the churches to kind of mask over the truth. But in the book of Jasher, it talks about a prophecy that went forth before Esau and Jacob were even born, while they were still in the womb. It was already prophesied that Jacob was going to be ruling over the Most High people at the very end. He was already given the birthright before they were even born.
Yep.
So the fact that the churches are not trying to say, oh, he stole it, he's a trickster and whatnot, totally negates Scripture. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to about the same thing of establishing Israel. It said in the chat room that they were talking about the aspect of waiting for Armageddon. And as I look at the news and I look at everything, I'm wondering if anybody sees that I see that. Doesn't it seem like it's already here?
Yes.
That they got us under the illusion that we're waiting for somebody to physically come and lead the way, but aren't we already leading the way in the name of God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they got us waiting for this physical manifestation to come. But isn't the Spirit of God already amongst us and already fulfilling the prophecies that we are discussing?
That's just
my question. I was saying stuff on the chat room, but I really wasn't getting a lot of reply or a lot of feedback. So I was just trying to get, you know, to see if I'm the only one that's thinking this or coming across this. Or is it in the air?
No, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, well, the thing is that, no, I agree with you, because I believe that time overlaps. So when something is ending, something has to start before it completely ends, and that's a part of the cycle. And the thing is, too, when you talk about the church system, they're taught that they're looking for all these things to happen, and once it happens, boom, that's when they're waiting for that thing to occur. But it has to bring the work, you know.
And there's a lot of feedback. I'm sorry, there's a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
I'll see if I can catch it.
It's never sudden. Okay, it's never happening suddenly. It's always a process. So, no, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
You're absolutely right. That very same prophet talked about how because Jacob was holding on to Esau's heel when he came out, it was a direct prophecy about how Esau is going to be ruling at the end of the world, at the end of the age, and the new age of the ruling of Jacob is going to start right away. There's no separation between the two. One finishes and the other starts right away. There's no gap. It just happens all at once. There's a transition that happens instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob is going to begin to rule.
Right.
Or inherit his promise.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, because Sister Mama B was saying that my mic was fading in and out. Is it okay now?
She said she could hear you now.
Okay, well, that's good.
She said that about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, see, I'm reading the chat now. Okay, good.
Yeah,
but
was I
talking on mute before, yakking, and nobody heard nothing?
No, she said you were fading in and out. You were fading in and out.
Okay, all right.
I heard it all.
Okay, well, that's good. I'll have to listen to the recording later, maybe. Anyway, sorry for interrupting y'all, but I want to reiterate this again, and that's
keep going.
We have to look at the covenant and the purpose of the covenant, as this is basically the inheritance. It's not land, okay? He said, what does it say? In the book of Maccabees, it says, I made Jerusalem for you, not you for Jerusalem, okay? What that means is that land that was there was for our safety and for our purpose. But what was that purpose? Okay, we were supposed to be safe and have a purpose. But understand that the seed of Yaakov are for signs and wonders for the power of the Most High. So everything that we go through, we are supposed to go through. That's why we have to remain humble and understand that, you know, he knows how the devil's going to work. He knows how the Amalekites are going to deceive. That's why everywhere you look, the devil seems like he's always trying to do something. Wrestle with Yaakov, usurping people. You know what I mean? Here comes Yahushua. And who's there at the temple before Yahushua gets there? For 200 years, the seed of the serpents in the seat. They created the Sanhedrin. Now they got the Septuagint. Now they created the Catholic Church. Now that, you know what I'm saying? Now here we are at the end of it all, and they're going to destroy the banking system. Now took over the seed of Yaakov. I mean, it's like, why are they so desperate? They're desperate to stay alive. That's why we got that dying God thing going on. You know, they are desperate to stay alive. Why? Because they live because we sleep. But we're not sleeping anymore. We're waking up. And as we're waking up, they're getting scared. So now what are they going to do? They're going to destroy themselves. And when they destroy themselves, it's all over for them. You see? Yaakov didn't steal nothing. Yaakov is doing what he's supposed to do. Everything is in the plan of the Most High. All right? That's the main point about all this. I hope everybody hears what I'm talking about.
I got
you. No, I hear you, bro. But you know what? I understand what everyone's saying, but there's a problem there. No one can explain this problem to me. And ever since back in the day when I first read that, you know, there's a problem. And the problem is that if, you know,
I'm not let go of it because he ain't really doing too much information. You come get it.
The problem that I've always had, and no one has been able to answer whatsoever, I cannot find an answer for it, but if Yaakov won his birthright, or actually was given his birthright by Esau, can anyone explain why he had to fool his father? Basically, him and his mother had to lie to his father in order for the blessing to be bestowed upon him. That never made sense to me whatsoever. If that was legitimate, you know, his mother wouldn't have to make the stew. He wouldn't have to put
the hairy skin on him.
You know what I mean? So something is wrong here. Something is definitely wrong here. And you figure Isaac, you know, he, even though he already gave out his blessing, you can still tell that when Esau finally appeared in front of him, there was some sort of remorse for what he's already done. Once you already do something, you can't undo it. So I understand the reason why he couldn't say, well, you know, I'm going to take that blessing away from him and give it to you. But you can see that there's remorse.
So something else is going on here, you know, and like I said, I've never been able to find an answer to it, but something's not right. No one has ever been able to give me an honest answer to that. And I believe that everyone here can understand my point of what I'm trying to make. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, all I'm saying is that even when you follow Yakub later on down the line, he gets in this whole thing where he's wrestling with the angel. He is dealing with his wife, whom still are carrying around these idols, and he, in most cases, are dealing with these idols also. Okay? So, if you ask me, you know, why in the world would he be fighting for priesthood? Why should he be given priesthood when he can't choose himself?
Jamel, but you have to look at the big picture, brother. All these little things that we're, all these things that we're looking at are minor when it compares to the big picture. Because out of that big picture, out of that seed line came who? Yahushua. What Yahushua had came through Esau. That's what it's all about. Because it talks about the Messiah through Moses. Moses talks about the Messiah coming through this line. And the line came through Judah, Yehuda. So then we have to say, what exactly was the birthright? You know what I'm saying? It was the word of the Most High. Was the birthright land? Because that's what Esau was after. He wasn't after the word of the Most High. All right? So now when we think about the whole trickery with Esau and Rebecca and fooling Isaac and this, we still have to say, okay, we analyze that event, and then we still have to say, we have to understand that who put this together? Who's telling us the story? All right? Because even this brother, Daryl and I were looking at this, and they're talking about how Esau was hairy and how he was related to Neanderthal, and I'm still a little bit confused about what was the purpose of Esau being born through Rebecca. Because it just seems like Esau was just a mess up from the go. I hated you when you were while you were in your mother's womb. I mean, was his point too? Was he just fulfilling his role? You know what I'm saying? It's like, is he just fulfilling?
I feel what you're saying, bro. There's still a problem. You know what I mean? And, okay, so neither one of the brothers were right. You know what I mean? They weren't too right. Something was wrong, both of them do. You know what I mean? But something is wrong. All I'm saying is that Isaac, who was in favor, I'm sorry, who the Most High showed favor upon, okay, during that time, he still showed remorse. He knew that what went down wasn't too kosher. You know what I mean? He knew that something was wrong. He knew he felt remorse. And that's what I got from that. Now, you know, I'm not debating on who was the better brother or who was. All I'm saying is that when we look at Isaac and how he handled the situation, all right, there was something wrong.
Can I add something to what you're saying, brother?
I'm sorry?
I said, could I add something to what you're saying and maybe help you out a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, wasn't Isaac the same man who laughed when the Most High said he was going to have a child in his old age? Was he the same man?
No, that was
Abraham.
Abraham.
That was Abraham.
And it was
okay.
Abraham and
Sarah, yeah, that was laughing.
Okay. So, when it came time for these two children to be born and all of the prophecies that went forth and everything surrounding them, regardless of how the parents reacted, isn't the Most High's word supposed to be the word that went forth. And knowing Esau's characteristics, wouldn't you say that they would have had to have, what his mother had to have done something to make sure that in the physical realm it went forth, as because it had already been prophesied in the spiritual realm, they would have had to have done something to make sure that no matter what, it was physically known that this birthright was going to go forth because it was already prophesied. But then, like Brother D and Brother Dali would say, you have to go all the way back to kind of dive into some of those apocryphers that were taken out to explain everything that went on behind these two children being born. Because regardless of the idols and the things that happened afterward, there are people who are still messing with idols to this very day, and they were while they were there at that point. And the Most High used all kinds of different vessels to accomplish his will. So
that's true. That's true. Now, I understand what you're saying, Chris, but you're saying that Rebecca did this because it was prophesied that Jacob would bestow the blessing. Okay, so are we saying that the only reason why this happened was because Rebecca intervened, or was it going to happen anyway? You know what I'm saying? In other words, if it was already prophesied, all right, that means that it's going to happen. Rebecca, I don't believe that Rebecca intervened because of the prophecy. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
she's human.
It's like saying that the Creator said that it's going to be, you know, it's hypothetical, I want to keep it very simple, it might sound silly. The Creator is going to say that it's going to be a car accident directly in front of my house at 6 o'clock. Okay. Now, should that just happen, or should I go out there and cause an accident that will happen at 6 o'clock? You know what I mean? Or am I kind of off? If you guys understand like the analogy I'm trying to make, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't believe that Rebecca had to intervene in order for a prophecy to come true. You know what I mean?
But Jamel, let me say something real quick. Because I would like to move on to other topics, but I want to instead of going too much into this, which is a good discussion, but what I want to say is this, because we're gonna keep on, is we're concentrating on Rebecca, we're concentrating on Isaac, and we're looking at Esau, right? But we're not really looking at the big picture, and the big picture about all this is what was the main purpose of all this. What exactly was the inheritance? Somebody answer that. What was the inheritance that Esau stole?
The priesthood, or trying to be the priest of the Most High people, right?
That's what I believe. Do you believe that, Jamel?
I don't believe that's all. No.
Okay, what was it? Was it land?
That partially to do with it.
Okay, but he took both of them.
More of the whole gamut.
So you're saying it was the land and the priesthood, right?
Land, priesthood, yeah, certain amounts of wealth.
Okay, now listen, because we only got 20 minutes, brother. If he's supposed to take the priesthood and the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then would the Most High give his priesthood to Esau, knowing that he hated him while he was in his mother's womb, or before he was in his mother's womb? Would the Most High come through the line of Esau, knowing that Esau was going to mix in with the Amalekites, the seed of the Amalekites? You understand what I'm talking about? Yes.
Now, I understand what you're saying. But my main question is this: because we're really dealing with Jacob. I know we brought up Esau, and we brought up the part of Rebecca. But we're really dealing with Jacob, and it was Jacob whose name was turned into Israel. It was Jacob whom allowed his wife and his children to deal with idols. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, taking it just off of the whole idea of inheriting the priesthood, how can you inherit the priesthood when you're dealing and you're serving through masters?
Because the line of the priesthood came through Jacob, but it was the seed of Yaakov that was righteous. Because out of that seed of Yaakov came Moses, right?
Right.
Out of Moses came, let me just keep going, out of Moses we have the Levites. Now, of course, we know they backslid and they worship idols and everything and they fell, but it was the covenant that was the most important aspect of all this, because it was the covenant that was going to show the signs and wonders. Now, look at the state that we're in today, brother. We have fallen off like crazy. We've been worshiping idols in the past. Every curse, everything in Deuteronomy said, if you do this is going to happen to you. We did this, and that. So it happened to us, right? So the question is, you know, I think you're saying is that Jacob wasn't even worthy anyway. Right?
Right.
And obviously he wasn't, because look at the state we're in. But out of the seed of Yaakov, based on the garden, there was supposed to be the Messiah that would be the light of the world. Right? That is what we're really supposed to do. Because that right there trumps everything. Because Yahushua came to the world as the light of the world. And through the seed of Yaakov, through Judah, came the Messiah, which is the promise, which is the covenant. It's all tied in together. So even though the whole issue with Esau and Jacob and Rebecca and all that stuff, that is going on. And of course, we should look at it and question it and be like, man, it's all bad here. But still, we have to look at the final, the means, the ends. I guess I'm just saying is the ends will justify the means. Does anybody want to get in on this? You know what I'm talking about?
Well,
I understand.
Okay, brother.
Look.
I love you,
Brother Joe. This is Brother Joseph from Virginia, right?
Oh, hey, what's up, Joe from Virginia?
Say again.
I said, what's up, brother?
Oh, peace, shalom. Look, I was listening to a blog, right? And towards the end of the blog, this man took and knocked my feet off. I mean, knocked the socks off my feet. Look, this is what I want to ask you. Have you ever heard of the Montauk natives up in New York? Now, this go back to Thomas Jefferson. It was a pronouncement that he was to go see these natives, right? And I got the recordings queued up now. It's about 15 seconds. It's going to knock your socks off. Now, it was told to Thomas Jefferson that these people speaks Hebrew, and when Thomas Jefferson left these natives, they gave him a book. A Hebrew book. Now I got the recording already queued up, ready to go. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, but before you put that on, I just want to make sure that Jamel is okay, is finished, and that he doesn't have anything to say.
True.
Hold on, my brother.
True.
It's good. Actually, I think that we should probably carry this conversation offline and on private. Then you can finish it up. You know what I mean?
Jamel.
So that way we can keep on moving.
Okay,
Mel. Are you 856?
Yes, 856.
85. Okay, yeah, because I do want to call you after the show.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, my brother.
You ready?
Oh, yeah, we ready. How long is it? Because we got 14 minutes.
No, it's like 10, 15 seconds. See that, law?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Tribe that's not them. Any native tribe, even if we go back to Hitler and we see that he killed off the Freemasons and the Gypsies, these were competing magicians that he had to remove. And in that same way, the Freemasons, unfortunately, they are the ones that were in charge of this revolution and the movement to the West, were slaughtering all of the natives here, not to mention slaughtering all of the old growth forests. And so in this way, diminishing the very earth's powers and any earth tribe that was in their way would be diminishing their magical powers on earth, demolished, removed from the equation. There's stories of Thomas Jefferson going up to meet with the Montauk Indians, and of course the Montauk region being the heavily area where we have all of our new psychic technologies and weather modification is one of the most, you got your Montauk boys like Stuart Swerdlow that
control
UFOs, extraterrestrial connections and all of that in Montauk. Well, the Montauk Indians supposedly spoke Hebrew, and Thomas Jefferson is reported to have gone and collected the only known dictionary of the Montauk tribe, and then they bred out the Montauk Indians with black slaves until there is no such thing as a Montauk Indian anymore. And then supposedly this diary or this dictionary of Montauk language was lost on its return trip.
That's all I wanted to add, brother. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, that's all I wanted to share. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Huh?
All right.
So we had to be here long before little brother got you. See, it's a big part of history being erased and covered up. That's what we need to discover, things like that.
Can I get a copy of that?
Can. It's on the blog, right? But see, you have to do some more research. You could start out with the archives of Thomas Jefferson.
But let me say something real quick on this. First, we have to understand who Thomas Jefferson was.
Exactly.
Thomas Jefferson is one of there's the church fathers, and then there's the founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson was not one of the best individuals to be getting anything from. And we have to still look at...
See, he came out there with a book and kept the book hidden, you know?
Yeah, I know, brother, but the thing is, I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm just saying, like, anything associated with Thomas Jefferson or anything that these people talk about, always question it. And we look at the Montauk Indians and stuff, all right? But it's like, you know, the Montauk Indians... And the Hebrews, I mean, okay, think about it. There's a stone called the Decalogue Stone, right? On the Decalogue Stone, it actually has the Ten Commandments on it, and it's abridged. The fact that it's abridged is saying that it was edited in a way that it was teaching, and it was talking about why they were in bondage. Now, it was written in Paleo Hebrew, not the Babylonian Hebrew, which means that it goes back even further. And when they found this rock, they were saying that the person that wrote it must have basically came with Christopher Columbus, and on that ship with Christopher Columbus must have been some Hebrew slaves. Okay? So when you read into that, you realize that they were already getting Hebrews back then. So could the Hebrews have mixed in with these Montauk Indians and taught them Hebrew, and therefore that's where they found the book? Most likely.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that, to me, would confirm that. But coming from Thomas Jefferson, who was the one? Was it Ben Franklin that had the all the dead bodies, or was it Thomas Jefferson? Which one was it?
Ben Franklin.
Okay, it's Ben Franklin. But Thomas Jefferson, weren't they all in the whole Masonic cult thing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead, brother.
Well, see, these people know when they came over here, it was some people already over here. And our footprint is all over this country. You got some stuff in Arkansas, Tennessee, all up and down this coast, the Grand Canyons. They know about this stuff, you know. So it was some people already over here before these
brother Johnson
came over. Yes,
brother,
sir.
Brother Johnson, how's it going, brother? This is Fortune 500.
Please,
I'm going to back you up again. It seems as though, bro, like me and you, I understand a lot of things that you're saying, and you're absolutely right. They have found Hebrew block letters, old Hebrew block letters. Throughout the United States. Well, different areas of the United States that Native Americans were writing. So they were writing Hebrew. So you're absolutely right. But at the same exact time, you know, we don't know whether or not they were Hebrew. We know that also, you know, that they had the Olmec Society. We've had different people of color have been coming here way before the European has. So it's quite possible they could have taught the Native Americans, or they could have also been Hebrew themselves. They could have converted. Who knows?
It's so much missing. It's just so much missing to our history, who we are and
right.
what we are, where we came from, where we went. It's just so much missing, you know. But until we can solve these mysteries, some of the puzzles won't come through. Now, Brother Dawee, now this is a YouTube channel, Slow Walker 700, Visions from the Past. Did you look at that last week?
Slow Walker? No, I didn't. I did check out Dr. Beagle, though. Beagle.
Yeah. Okay. About the loose noose.
Yeah, about the loose
noose.
I do want to
say something real quick.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A lot of this is a Beaming Clark, Bark Solutions. I did want to say that all the information that we're getting, whether it be from the new Bible that we have or Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson or, you know, presenters of the, you know, forerunners of the Illuminati and all these groups, is that we have to decipher the truth from what we already know from way back.
Yeah.
So whether we get it from the Olmecs or we see the things that the Aztecs are saying or the Librians or any of these groups or these facets, we have to realize that this information, all this information has been captured. And then it's being rationed out to us the way that they want us to see it. So we got to be real careful when we delve into these other areas that we're real serious in our foundation, and that's the only way that we can focus on the truth. I just wanted to share that real quick. And that goes across for all the information that we get.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so much hidden from us. But you know another thing, Brother Dawee, speaking of the 12 tribes, all of them 12 tribes was in living. I mean, you know, broke the code. So the ones that meant good and did good, maybe was a different agenda. Maybe they came over here. You know, when we came out of Egypt, we stayed in the wilderness long enough to build some boats and go wherever. We didn't go into Israel.
But Brother Joe, you know, that, you know, that could be true, and also we could have come with the slave trips and escaped and wrote on some stones and then mixed in with the Native Americans, you know. But what we need to understand is, let's take it to what we know in Scripture, and we know, like I mentioned in the book of John 4, we know that the Samaritans at this time were trying to be separated from the Hebrews. But when you read it, you realize that the Hebrews were the Samaritans, because she says our father Yaakov. We know that there was enough Hebrews in that area to make up the seed of Yaakov. We also understand that the seed of Yaakov was brought down through South Africa and put on them ships as slaves to fulfill the prophecies in Deuteronomy. So these are the things that we do know. Now, when we start speaking about the Native Americans and all this stuff, what role did they play in scriptures that we can see gives us benefits to our knowledge right now? For my understanding is, the information that we're seeing as the Native Americans just basically tells us that, yes, it proves that the Native Americans were Hebrews. Okay, now what do we do with that? All right, because where we're coming from, we need people to understand that these are people of color, and this is how the covenant was made But now, when we trace through the Atlantic slave trade, this is basically telling us why it happened based on Deuteronomy 28. So now we can tell people to look, go into this word, look at it differently. Now, when we look at the Native American thing, that's like, it's good, but how does that help us? You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, this how it help us. See, this Native, this Indian thing, somebody else is like identity stuff. Them Indians was black people. They had nappy, kinky hair just like we had. They looked at just like us, you know. So I'm saying that it's a whole big missing piece in the whole puzzle. But the Indians, I don't know where that name Indian come from, but they was black people.
Yeah.
They was black people. And I mean, like I said, all up and through Southeast, and northeast, our footprint is all over this place.
Okay, and I can see because, you know, when they talk about the ships and they coming in on the ships and stuff, it makes sense through the migration, but let's put it into the content on how is it going to help us to speak out to the people about, you know, about who we are. And what we need to do about it. Look, we got about 3 minutes left. Anybody have some final anything to final words to say before we close out?
Thank you, brother.
Yes. Thanks to everybody who came out. This was very informative for me. So
yeah, me too.
I just want everybody to know. Thanks for coming. This was a good show. So see you guys next time. And Dawid, I guess I'll speak to you after the show. Brother Jamil.
Okay, and I want to thank everybody for coming out. I'm going to read a scripture really quick. We got about 2 minutes or so. And, of course, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for bringing us together. I thank you for strong brothers like Jamel and Brother Dawid and Brother Daryl and Sister Leah and Sister Deborah. I pray that you continue to protect her and keep her strong away from that cancer. We ask that you bless everybody this week, Heavenly Father. When we thank you in the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, y'all. Thank you for coming. It looks like we got about 39. No, we have 1 minute and 39 seconds. We can talk for a little bit. Anybody want to say one last thing before I play it?
I just want to tell everybody have a great week, and I love you guys. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
You too, brother.
Shalom, everybody. Much love to you all. Thank you so much, family. Much love. Love you guys.
Shalom, sister.
Yep, shalom.
Okay.
Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom. Hey, Shabbat shalom. Brother, Brother Jamil, we'll talk on Skype.
Definitely.
Okay. Okay. All right, y'all.
All right. Okay.
Blues ain't culture. They sounds of oppression against the white man's game he's run on us all these blue years. Blues is struggle, strangulation of our people, cause we couldn't off the white mother socking it to us. But now, when I hear Billy's soft, soulful sighs of Am I Blue, I say, no, sweet Billy, no mo'. No mo' blue trains running on this track, they all been derailed. Am I blue, sweet baby blue Billy? No, I'm black and ready